world dominated by fear and mass manipulation of the media. Who can you trust? Just when you think there is no hope alive, you find out that there is an alternative news source to turn to. Revere Radio Network, keeping the dream of sovereignty and freedom alive for all. Revere Radio Network.
The views and opinions expressed in the following broadcast do not necessarily reflect the views of Revere Radio Network, Rob Revere, or any other host on the network. They are the personal thoughts and feelings of the host given the presentation. We support total free speech here at Revere Radio Network, even when it's ugly. Enjoy.
Hey, you're listening to Revere Radio Network. Stay tuned.
You all know why I'm here, not an order, and I would not try to convince you of the worthiness of our cause, but I'm a soldier, and we are at war.
We seem to never learn, here we go again, they rallied up the troops, God forgive the sin, hidden agendas, can't we fight for truth? No, then there be no need to fight. Love isn't fatal, there's no fatalities. Hate supports U.S. principalities. In this separation, we all suffer. We need to be in love with each other. This isn't training, actual invading. Depleted uranium is raining. Iraq, just know we don't have Bush's back. With a vicious attack, crossing borders with might. On foot, catching flight. For hypocrisy, I will not fight. The Most High loves I, the word won't die. Even after all the times it's been revised. I've been shot by Charlton Heston, and he even autographed the weapon. The bullet was lodged in my left shin. I asked the doctor, and she kept it in.
The stress of waiting for the tension of battle, readying to make war, making peace with their God.
You're listening to TruthLoveFreedom.org.
There's a time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Do you understand what I'm talking about? What is our common bond truly? Freedom. Freedom. Without freedom, you can't be a Christian no matter what denomination you belong to. You can't be a Buddhist. You can't own a donut shop. You can't drive from here to Oregon. You can't be an American because that's what it's all about. And that's the only thing that it's all about. Nothing else. Nothing else.
The utmost manifestation of love and devotion to America is today, as it always has been, resistance of tyranny. Resist we must, and resist we will. We will not be silent. We will not obey. We will not wait another moment in fear to stand up for what we know to be right. It is time we start meeting oppression with resistance.
It's about freedom. Only freedom. It means you have to let other people be free.
Yes, yes, we're back for another week here, Truth, Love, Freedom radio show. And what you just heard is the in the works new intro to the Truth, Love, Freedom radio show.
To replace the going out the door old intro.
Yeah, it's in a couple weeks it's no longer going
to
be valid.
soon to reference a no longer relevant president.
Exactly.
A lame duck.
Can't say I'm entirely sad about the idea.
No. Nor can I. But I won't say anything could be better, because I've made that mistake before.
Yeah. Isn't that what they said after Clinton?
That's what everyone I grew up with said after Clinton, because no one liked Clinton.
Yeah.
In my circle.
Yeah. So, Oh, this is the new Truth, Love, Freedom. We have a completely new layout of the show now. We're trying to upgrade here to go with the relaunch that is occurring tomorrow.
Yeah, this is TLF 2.0. Truth, Love, Freedom.
Yep.
Version 2.
Oh, wait, it's not tomorrow, is it?
I don't know.
No, it's the 23rd. So it's next week. This is our beta version. So we're trying it out.
Beta.
We're trying it out here. See if we can get it to, you know, I don't know, make it work good. Okay, well, anyways. So today's October 23rd, 2008. This is the Truth, Love, Freedom show with your host, Soul Real.
And Justin.
And, like I said, we have a whole new layout. This is something completely different. You know, to go with the upgrade that Revere Radio is doing, we're trying to upgrade the show and make it more interesting. Add a little feature here and there. Yep. So bear with us.
We'll see how it goes.
We'll see how it goes. It's going to be new. So we're going to be a little rough here at first, but we'll get it going. The first thing that we do at the beginning of every show now will be what we call the third page headlines. These are headlines or things that you would imagine should be headlines.
But for some reason, aren't.
Exactly. So to kick that off, let me go ahead and start with our first report here.
Nice.
You like that?
That was good.
Yeah. All right. Some good New World Order news. A financial New World Order. This article is by the Christian Science Monitor. Bush says reforms must improve, not fetter, the free market. Europeans hint at more robust intervention. When President Bush hosts a world financial summit in the coming weeks, one of the least multilateral American presidents in decades will set in motion what could result in a full reordering of the global financial system.
Dang.
The series of summits that Mr. Bush announced over the weekend at Camp David with European leaders at his side suggests a broad understanding among them that the current crisis requires the kind of global regulatory reforms that have eluded major powers in the past. Europeans especially are speaking of a, quote, Bretton Woods II, unquote, that could do for financial markets what the 1944 summit at a resort in New Hampshire did for the monetary policy. But the call for a summit also underscores the degree to which a once go-it-alone presidency has shifted to embrace not only the necessity of international cooperation, but also a role of global leadership. See, this cracks me up because, first of all, this is not a go-it-alone president. I love how the European Union tries to take a step back and act like they didn't want the war in Iraq, yet it was under UN law that it was his basis for going there. That the laws that they set into place. And then when it actually came down to blowing people up, they go, oh, we don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
But wasn't it the United Nations that basically kept on the table military intervention?
That is true.
So, I mean, and I love how they do this. The cool thing about the European Union is they have America to be their bully. They have America to do all their dirty work. And then after it's all said and done, they can act like all the dirty stuff they had nothing to do with. And they can step back with their hands up in the air and go, oh, we just want peace. We're a peaceful. Yeah, whatever. Anyways.
Are you saying we're the goon of the rest of the world, basically?
Yeah, basically. Like we're the military power of the United Nations.
Interesting.
I mean, we fight for the United Nations. We send the military over to fight for them. When we went to Kosovo, it was under the United Nations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the United Nations is fully involved in all this. So it for them to act like they're, you know, all about peace is a joke. It's more of a mirage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why America does all their dirty work for them, because they don't care what democracy ends up looking like. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's clear.
A free society, they don't care.
Well, neither do we, though, apparently. Not we, us, but we are, as a nation, don't seem to really care either.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That's another issue, totally.
Yeah, yeah.
But it also adds... Okay, wait. Where was I? I lost it. Okay. Talk of Bretton Woods II has been around to different degrees for 30 years, but the fact is it is getting started without an outgoing administration, and especially one that was at the center of the significant crisis between America and Europe, between America and the rest of the world, suggests the recognition that there is an urgency in the air, says Simon Sarfati,
an expert at the U.S.-European relation. Okay, U.S. expert in U.S. Europe relations at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington, who was the board member and chair of that organization, Zbigniew Brzezinski.
Hey.
It also adds legitimacy to the coming process. That process, which is expected to stretch into next year in a new American administration, will get underway with a summit that Bush will host sometime after November 4th, the date of U.S. elections, according to the statement issued Saturday by Bush, French President Nicolas Sarkozy, and European Union Commissioner President José Manuel Barroso. The initial summit is expected to be a kind of expanding group of eight meetings, or a group of eight meeting, assembling the leaders of the most industrialized nations. Really, imagine that. Yeah, so they're the ones that are going to decide with the rest of the world. That's unusual. That the most industrialized nations are the ones who always decide. And those of the major developing economies like China, India, Brazil, and South Korea. I'm sure they're going to have a real say in so and things.
Yeah, well, they might have something. I like developing is an interesting way to put it, especially India, China.
Especially China.
Yeah.
I think India definitely, but China especially. It's like, oh God. Let's talk about denial. Okay, it would aim to assess the current global crisis and to come up with a set of principles of reform. Actual agreements on reforms could come at subsequent summits, but the initial meeting would allow Bush to place his stamp on the process before leaving office while also facilitating a continuity of American leadership.
Just like a last-ditch effort to get it left for a legacy, you think?
Maybe. I'm a good guy. Yeah. That's what I tried to do when I was leaving office.
Well, Clinton had a similar hard time. I mean, his last ditch effort wasn't it Middle East peace. I mean, that's what he tried to get happening, and it didn't.
Yeah, try to make sure that they can go to a grocery store without people egging them. Not that he's probably ever shopped for his own groceries in his life.
But I doubt it.
Anyways. You want to finish this off, or should we just cut it?
Yeah, cut it.
I think you pretty much get it.
It's good.
Anyway, so you get the point. They're restructuring the global economy. Yay.
Not a front page story.
Because, it's just not that important. People don't really care about that, I guess. It's not front page. But you know what?
All right.
I wonder what Paris Hilton's up to. I'm sure that's
highly important. Now, here's one. FBI gets, quote, flexible guidelines. This is on UPI.com, October 5th, so it's a little old. The U.S. Justice Department has released new guidelines that allow the FBI to use intrusive investigation techniques in national security cases. Agents would be able to go undercover, carry out physical surveillance, and find informants without any proof that targets are involved in terrorism, the Washington Post reported. Attorney General Michael Mukasey said Friday that agents need a broader mandate to prevent terrorist attacks by investigating threats before they turn into action.
Wow.
The guidelines fulfill a mandate of the panel that investigated the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks by allowing the FBI to be a more flexible and adept collector of intelligence. They take effect December 1st. And now, like or hate the ACLU, they're definitely right on this one. This is just one other article from the ACLU website. New FBI guidelines governing investigations were released today after being signed by Attorney General Mukasey. The American Civil Liberties Union quickly blasted the Department of Justice and FBI for ignoring calls for more stringent protection of Americans' rights. The guidelines replace existing Bureau guidelines for five types of investigations: general criminal, national security, foreign intelligence, civil disorder, and demonstrations.
Demonstrations.
The ACLU.
You know those terrorists that protest, man. You know that's what terrorists do, right?
Yeah.
They go out in public in large crowds, and they stand out by wearing political statements.
Yeah, now here's a quote by the executive director of the ACLU, Anthony Romero. He says, "The attorney general today gave the FBI a blank check to open investigations of innocent Americans based on no meaningful suspicion of wrongdoing. The new guidelines provide no safeguards against the FBI's improperly using race and religion as grounds for suspicion. They also fail to sufficiently prevent the government from infiltrating groups whose viewpoints it doesn't like. The FBI has shown time and time again that it is incapable of policing itself, and there's good reason to believe that these guidelines will lead to more abuse." Now, honestly, I thought all of this was already happening anyway, mm-hmm. but it's interesting to see that, despite that a lot of this stuff has been happening anyway, it's now even more so allowed to happen. So if this stuff has already been happening under the old guidelines, what's going to happen under the new guidelines?
Exactly. Oh, I gotta love it. Okay, this is from Global News Blog. Reuters. What will be the shape of the world's new financial order? Question mark. By Timothy Heritage. Okay. The global financial crisis has produced broad agreement that the world needs a new financial architecture. But world leaders are a long way away from reaching an agreement on what shape it should take. Many countries have rescue plans to support banks and unfreeze credit markets. The United States has set in motion reforms to change relationship between Washington and Wall Street. Really, I wonder what kind of change. I think the change, I think they should like replace change with merge, perhaps, just maybe. You know, not that I haven't been talking about this for over a damn year, and here it is happening, but yeah. But calls are being made for much deeper coordinated reforms, and a series of global summits is planned to discuss how to reform the financial system. The first of these meetings will be held on November 15th at the United Nations, and this is more about that. And they're talking about the Bretton Woods and yada, 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 so on and so forth. But anyways, there you go. Yeah, they're restructuring the economy. I guess I shouldn't probably have done that twice.
Hey.
But I think it's really interesting. And I love the way they always say the new economic order, the new world financial order, the new world order. You know, it's like...
I'll admit to... I know, like I daily definitely now. Noticed that. It is actually happening a lot in mainstream media, though.
You think that the usage of those words is a coincidence?
I don't know.
I mean, why do they keep going back to that? I mean, I remember like 4 or 5 years ago when you talk about the New World Order and the media, whenever it was brought up, they acted like they didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. Now they use it like it's just a household terminology.
That's true.
And like I'm looking, I mean, I get news alerts every time the words New World Order are used in the news, and I'm getting, you know, email alerts constantly.
Yeah.
I mean, they use the New World Order in relationship to a baseball team. Okay. Coincidence? Perhaps. I think it'd have to be pretty dense. Anyways, that's it for third page headlines. Or you got anything else?
Oh, one more thing. I think this is interesting. Okay. This is something, if you're in Australia, it probably is front page news. I find it interesting as just a symptom of things to come. Australia, I don't think of as like, you know, China-ish in their censorship, but the article is titled No Opt-Out of Filtered Internet. So Australians will be unable to opt out of the government's pending internet content filtering scheme and will instead be placed on a watered-down blacklist, experts say. What this basically is there's a this idea to filter the internet for content, basically to protect the children. The Labor Party's plan for cyber safety will require ISPs to offer a clean feed internet service to all homes, schools, and public interest points accessible by children. The upcoming field pilot of ISP filtering technology will look at various aspects of filtering, including effectiveness, ease of circumvention, the impact on internet across speeds and class, blah, blah, blah. But the interesting thing is the very end of this article... according to preliminary trials, the best internet content filters would incorrectly block about 10,000 web pages from out of a million.
Oh,
so, and actually, it says 10,000, but the way it's written, it actually looks like it's 100,000. I'm not sure if the typo is too many zeros or they put the comma in the right place. So it's either 1% of incorrect web pages will be filtered, or it's 10% of incorrect web pages will be filtered. And either way,
more 10.
It probably would be. And in any case, I mean, when it's it's the federal government of Australia that's in charge of that. What's, you know, one, they could easily add one site to that list and it's not going to make a dent. You know, they could say, oh, I don't like what this site's saying. Just add that one. Oh, it fell in the, you know, the 1% that get inadvertently filtered, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So that's it for third page headlines. Up next is our next segment. This segment's called the Justice Report.
Woohoo.
This is Justin's report, and it is going to be roughly about how would you describe it?
I'm not sure yet.
Odd news, strange
news.
Happenings.
Yeah, I don't have a lot today. I've got three articles. One, I only find this isn't so absurd and strange. It's just, well, it is strange because listen to this headline: Microsoft patents technology to automatically censor real-time speech.
So, okay.
Real-time speech?
Yeah, so the byline, has Microsoft actually developed a way to keep dirty words off of Xbox Live? So Xbox Live is like, you know, if you play video games, you can play with other people over the internet, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, so they're developing this software that will be able to actively just remove certain words that people say. Now, of course, the alleged intent of this is just to keep, you know, foul language out or whatever.
Right.
But that's a scary kind of software. I mean, imagine if you had a more advanced version of it and applied it to radio or television.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just thought that was scary. So, okay, here's a really weird one.
Right.
89-year-old charged with keeping kids' ball. This is from the AP, Blue Ash, Ohio. Police in Ohio say an 89-year-old woman is facing a charge of petty theft because neighborhood children accuse her of refusing to give back their football. Edna Jester was arrested last week in the Cincinnati suburb of Blue Ash. Police say one child's father complained that Jester kept the youngster's ball after it landed in her yard. Police Captain James Schaefer says there has been an ongoing dispute in the neighborhood over kids' balls landing in the woman's yard. Jester said Monday she has received many calls and didn't have time to discuss the matter anymore. Jester is to appear in court next month. The maximum penalty for a petty theft conviction in Ohio is 6 months in jail and a fine of up to $1,000.
So. Oh, you know what? I had this neighbor when I was a kid. I lived at my grandma's house for a while, right? Mm. We had this neighbor. I kid you not. He was so anal retentive about us accidentally getting the ball. I mean, there was a house. I mean, it's a grandma with a big family. Mm-hmm. So the grandkids would come over, and I lived there. So I'd be playing with them. We'd be playing football. You know, we had a little basketball hoop and everything. We had a swimming pool. We had big old beach balls that we would hit around and stuff, you know? And if it went over the fence, I kid you not, the dude would start a chainsaw. And then it was to make a point. He would use the chainsaw to cut the ball and pop it.
That's awesome.
It cracks me up, man. But it's serious. So that's it for the Justice Report. Now, as time goes on, like I said, this is our first time in our new structure. We're going to be updating everything. We're going to have little intros and all this stuff, but it's going to take time. So the next thing we're going to start doing is Health by Yourself. It's a segment with Jeff Miller. Without going into too much about what he's about, I'll let him explain it to himself here in just a second. But basically, he's going to pre-record a segment about health news from various topics, whatever he decides to do it on. And it's going to be his little project to report to you weekly about things that are going on in the world of health. So I want to welcome to the show Jeff Miller. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Hi.
Hey, Jeff.
Welcome to the show, Jeff.
How you doing?
Good.
Well, so, thanks for that introduction.
No, absolutely.
Now, I've listened to a lot of your shows,
mm-hmm.
and there's one thing that really attracted me to that makes me real comfortable with the whole show, and that is you're always saying that you're just trying to present a viewpoint, and then you want the people to make up their mind. It's not that you have this agenda that you're trying to convince people necessarily. But you mm-hmm. just want people to hear the other side that they don't normally hear,
mm-hmm.
and that way they're free to make up their mind.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And so when I heard that, then I'm thinking I agree with that 100%. And when it comes to health, I also sort of have a different take.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that I want to convince people so much, but I do feel that this side of it is you never hear it,
mm-hmm.
and so. I've been working on the last 6 or 7 years developing models to explain this.
Uh-huh.
And so what I thought I'd do, just for this first little show, is sort of give you my basic premise.
Because mm-hmm.
if you don't understand the premise where I'm coming from, everything will seem absolutely bizarre and ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But from another premise, I think it will all make sense. And I'm going to set it up right now. But
okay.
I should tell you a little bit of a background. And you can ask questions, of course.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, feel free until you have nothing more to say, and we'll go ahead and ask some questions at that point.
All right, let's do that.
Okay.
Well, first, a little bit about myself. As I grew up, I was into sports, and all I really cared about was, you know, my friends were getting hurt, and I was getting hurt. And for some reason, it was just kind of fun to try to play doctor, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had an interest in physiology since I was a kid. And so it's completely natural. I got a degree in biology, and then I went to physical therapy school. And so the only thing I ever really wanted to do Mm-hmm. Strange, you might think, but in retrospect, looking back at how I was sort of brainwashed through the whole education system,
mm-hmm.
what I found is that there's a basic premise that not just me, but what all health sciences learn, the sort of thing that's not said,
mm-hmm.
and the basic premise of my education and most people's education is that of a bad design.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing. That, so we don't really realize that we're taught that, but you know, if you go to the doctor or anybody for help, even the alternative providers,
mm-hmm.
they come from that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just assumed. And so I didn't really believe it, and I really don't believe that now. And so I want to give an example illustrating how you can look at something from the perspective that we were built poorly and come with one conclusion, or you can also look at it from the other perspective that we are built well and come to a completely different conclusion. And we talked about this a little bit, this example, but...
you know, you gave me a really good analogy. Can you do that analogy again? I don't remember exactly what it was, but I think it really just hit the ball out of the park in explaining your idea.
Yeah, and since we talked, I thought about it a little bit more, and I thought that's a good analogy, and I kind of expanded on it even further and try to kind of simplify it. So I hope this isn't insulting because it's so simple.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always thinking, yeah, I don't want to confuse people, but I also don't want to insult people.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just the best I can do to, you know, to explain something mm-hmm. that's kind of hard to explain, but I can make it really simple. When I was in high school, I was kind of a jokester.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say the most off-the-wall things, and, you know, and one of the things that even my friends remember when they see me now is something that I said that was so ridiculous it was the thing they remember, and that is, I had this car, a Mazda, red Mazda, I think it was like a 1980 GLC, and it was a junker, and I never had any money or anything. But I made this joke with them that, yeah, my oil light's been on for like 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and I really need to get that taken care of. I really need to get that light bulb taken out because it's kind of annoying. And so I say this, and you're thinking, that's funny, right?
Right.
Is that ridiculous? Of course it's ridiculous, because you and I believe, and we know, that the engineers who made the car, they obviously put that light there for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So I should be more concerned about putting oil in the car, but I was more concerned about the light bulb.
Mm-hmm.
So is that bizarre or not?
No, that's very bizarre.
That's bizarre. Okay, now, but did you know with physiology and with our health issues, that's exactly how we act?
Mm-hmm.
Let's for a second kind of carry this through to its logical conclusion. So we're going to presume for a second that the designer didn't know what he was doing. There's no purpose for the light bulb.
Mm-hmm.
It just goes off, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pretend like this is my car. So what do? The light bulb's going off, so I think, oh my gosh, I need to go to the car doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And so the car doctor, you know, he's going to look at, he says, at good news and bad news. The bad news is that you have a disease. It's called the light bulb syndrome. Mm-hmm. That's when the oil light goes off.
Mm-hmm.
But the good news is that we have a treatment for it. And it was developed by some really smart people at Harvard. They figured out a way with a laser to go in there and take that light bulb out without even having to take the dashboard off. So this is really, high-tech stuff. And so you're thinking, this is awesome. You know, it's an in-and-out, one-day procedure. So the car doctor takes the light bulb out, and you're good as new. No more light bulb. Or at least the light bulb's not shining. Right? So then on the way home, you're thinking, and I am so lucky that by the way, I forgot to mention this part, is that, you know, luckily, I had insurance in this fictitious example. I have insurance, and so I only had to pay $10,000. The insurance company picked up the other $90,000. And so on the way back, you're thinking, I am so lucky that I have insurance and I'm able to do this, but what about all the poor people who can't afford insurance?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, who's going to take care of their light bulbs when their oil lights? And so I get real political, you know, and I'm hanging up signs and whatnot, and I'm, you know, I'm trying to get free health care for everybody. But then after a while, I get a little bit smarter, and I think, why don't we get to the root of this? You know, what if we could find a cure for these light bulbs going off? You know, because we're presuming that it's a disease, that this oil light is going off, so why not get to the root and let's just find a cure?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so I find out about some research going on, and these Harvard professors, they found a gene. They found a gene that allowed this light bulb to go off. And so I'm going to donate to that, of course, because once they can do that, we can test all the cars. And if they have this gene that allows the oil light to go on, we can just treat all them ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so the oil lights won't go on at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can kind of see where I'm going with that. This is
right.
Bizarre. It's just ridiculous.
Right.
And
it's like their whole concern is just getting that light bulb off and not to figure out what caused light bulb to go off in the first place.
Yeah, and the whole emphasis, though, from the perspective of a bad design, this makes perfect sense. You know, the light bulb's not normal. People think there's something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes perfect sense. But from another perspective, if you believe that the design is good, you're going to look at things totally differently.
Mm-hmm.
And as an example, so every update has come from that perspective. For example, most people think that when you get older, you know, your friends, your grandparents and whatnot, they died of heart disease or diabetes or whatnot. But it might be more accurate to say that we don't really die of heart disease or high cholesterol. We actually die because our diabetes, cholesterol, or cancer couldn't keep us alive anymore.
Hmm.
See, all these diseases that we're spending all our energy treating, you know, we're spending a fortune. They actually are the one thing that are trying to keep us alive because there's something else wrong. And that's basically sort of the perspective of a good design. And when you look at it like that, every health issue that we talk about, I'm going to have a different take. And
mm-hmm.
so, but if I sit here and say, you know, and diabetes is a way to keep you alive longer when something else is wrong, even people get angry.
Mm-hmm.
You say that but I just want to kind of set up the whole perspective that, you know, depends on your premise.
Right.
You can't prove either one necessarily, but from my perspective, when I study physiology from that sort of, I don't want to say presumption, but kind of looking at it from the consideration that maybe the designer actually knew what he was doing and put things for a reason,
mm-hmm.
everything does make sense.
Right.
So,
yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, I've already come from that position in my own life. Me and my wife kind of hold that same philosophy, which is that people, you know, are so busy covering up the symptom that they don't focus in on what is actually causing the symptom and treating that. And typically, you know, from what I've seen, many of the ailments that we have in the world today, you seem to come from bad nutrition. I mean, that's just what I've encountered. And, you know, we drink and consume things that our body just is not meant to consume, you know?
Right.
And that's why I'm a big advocate for organic farming.
But, you know, the beauty of the whole system, though,
mm.
is that we all deviate from our design. We all deviate from the ideal situation.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this crazy thing called suffering, symptoms, or whatever,
mm-hmm.
to alert us. And so, for instance, let's say you mentioned about diet,
mm-hmm.
And I would never criticize somebody who goes on a strict diet. I don't want to say it like that, but I want to have one show that basically says, just to kind of shake the boat a little bit,
mm-hmm.
is you should eat whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why I'm saying this is that suppose you decide I'm gonna eat whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, let's say you're kind of inhibited. So you're at Trader Joe's and you see these cookies,
mm-hmm.
and you think, you know, that's not good for me. So you have this list of what's good and bad, which mm-hmm. is another issue that I want to get into in a later time.
Mm-hmm.
so you don't eat it, right? But let's say that you do, that you get the whole box and eat the whole thing. Eventually, you'll get sick.
Mm-hmm.
3 years down the road, you'll have a better diet. And that's how we're built. But when you, so through experience is how you learn. And but for some people, it never occurs to them that they have this built-in sort of conscience.
Mm-hmm.
They have this built-in ability to sort of perceive what they should or shouldn't eat. For instance, everybody has heard this thing about breakfast is the most important meal.
Mm-hmm.
You would not believe, and I'm not kidding. I knew a lady who was who had diabetes, and so I'm kind of doing an evaluation, and I asked her, "Are you hungry in the morning?" She said, "Oh no, I'm never hungry, but breakfast is the most important meal." Does that make? I mean, it's almost like it never. So what happens is that the more people know. So let's say you have a PhD in nutrition, mm-hmm. you know what's good and what's bad. The more you know, it's not necessarily bad, but the more you know, sometimes it works the other way around, where you lose sort of a connection to your appetite, and so you have a whole area of your brain just for that. To kind of, in other words, you eat something, you taste it, then you remember, your body kind of remembers how you react,
mm-hmm.
and that's the information, and then you go based on that. So you have an ability to sort of figure this stuff out with your brain,
mm-hmm.
and yet some people have their heads so far stuck up that, I mean, not stuck up, but they have the head in the book. So here's what it is.
Uh-huh.
I should use myself to criticize instead of anybody else, but I was convinced that, you know, have you guys ever heard of that? It's imitation coffee.
Right.
I can't think of the brand, but it's imitation coffee.
The instant coffee type thing, or what? Or
it's called, it's like coffee, but it's made out of barley and chicory, and I can't remember what it's called. It doesn't even matter, but I like the taste, and I like the idea of it, and I was convinced that it's good for me. Every time I ate it, I got kind of, I didn't feel too good afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But I was convinced it's good for you. And so many people do that, you know, they lose touch with their own conscience,
mm-hmm.
because somebody is telling them what's good and what's bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I tell people is even though technically most of the nutrition, the new ones, they are technically right in a certain context,
mm-hmm.
by going that route, I track people not 3 months down the road, but I'm looking at people more year by year,
mm-hmm.
how their life is changing and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And what's important is that you develop, that you take your best guess,
mm-hmm.
after what your body wants, and then you get feedback, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It can make you sick. It's probably not a good sign,
mm-hmm.
even if it says in the book, you know.
mm-hmm.
So.
Okay, awesome. Well, that's good insight, bro, and we're going to go ahead and head off here, but thank you very much for giving everybody an introduction to what to expect from your show, your segment. And
thank you for the opportunity to do this.
I look forward to hearing what you come up with
and
hearing your unique perspective on things. I think we see pretty much eye to eye. So it'll be a lot of fun, I think. Very informative.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, bro.
Take care.
Thanks a lot. Okay, you guys take care.
All right, bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, that was Jeff Miller, nutritionist, physical therapist. He is. He has a website, just so you know. His website is healthbyyourself.net. If you want to email him with any questions or any topic matter that you would like to hear us discuss on this show to get his insights on it, his email is help@healthbyyourself.net. Or you can contact him at his practice at 805-473-0555. And you'll be hearing from him every Thursday for a 5 to 10 minute segment regarding various health topics.
Yeah, actually, I found what he said pretty interesting, because I tend to think not in a physical health perspective, but from a mental health perspective. I think I look at life very similarly to what he was saying. I have this feeling that, like, so much of what would be the right decisions for us, for ourselves personally, psychologically and whatever,
mm-hmm.
are the things that we're so trained against and told are the wrong things to want or the wrong things to do.
Right.
And so we spend, you know, half our lives usually trying
trying to fit into what's supposed to be the healthy and right thing, and that it ends up with all these, you know, you end up not being happy at all. I kind of find it interesting to extend that onto actual physical diet. I'm definitely looking forward to hearing what he has to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, and into our final segment, we'll go to a break, and then we'll bring on our guest tonight. It's going to be Chris White from Nowhere to Run, and we're going to be discussing the movie Zeitgeist and Zeitgeist Addendum.
I just did watch them finally last week.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting show because this is a very interesting topic right now. It's got a lot of people stirred up, some people pretty upset. It's kind of spawned a whole new movement of people. I keep hearing them calling these radio shows now. I've been listening around trying to get the insight on what's going on, and you know, it's influential. It's been hitting people pretty hard and changing the way things have been going for a while in the so-called movement. So Chris, you know, Chris actually has the Zeitgeist Challenge. He's actually offered money to anybody who can prove some of the claims, especially the religious claims in the movie Zeitgeist. Just yesterday, I watched the guy Peter Joseph, the creator of Zeitgeist, do an interview with be interviewed by Alex Jones, which was a riot.
Literally,
I mean, oh my god, it got pretty heated, and I'll let you make your own judgments if you want to check it out. You can probably find it on Yak or YouTube. Just put in Peter Joseph and Alex, and you'll find it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're gonna get back to him in just a second and talk about that. But before we do that, where's my little paper here?
Carl lost his paper.
I'm missing paper. My next segment.
It's up here.
Amongst all this junk. The next segment. Yeah, is it up there? Yeah. I see. There it is. Okay. The next segment is something that's been posted on the Revere Radio forum. The next segment is called Enlightenment in a Can.
Yeah.
It's my own, you know, joke about things that make you think in kind of a funny way. Sometimes I'm going to talk about things in Freemasonry and anything that could be deemed enlightening.
Yes. So let me intro you.
Yeah.
And now, enlightenment in a can.
Nice. So this is a letter, I guess, that's been circulating around. I don't think it's real, but I think it's funny. It's definitely got a good point.
Yeah, it's got the feel of being fakey internet, but it's still kind of funny.
It's called Some Practical Socialism. Today on my way to lunch, I passed a homeless guy with a sign that read, "Vote Obama. I need the money." I laughed. Once in the restaurant, my server had on an Obama 08 tie. Again, I laughed. Just imagine the coincidence. When the bill came, I decided not to tip the server and explained to him that I was exploring the Obama redistribution of wealth concept. He stood there in disbelief while I told him that I was going to redistribute his tip to someone who I deemed more in need, the homeless guy outside. The server angrily stormed from my sight. I went outside, gave the homeless guy the $10, and told him that to thank the server inside, as I decided he could use the money more. The homeless guy was grateful. And that is Enlightenment in a Can.
That was Enlightenment in a Can.
So that's it for our first hour of segments. We're going to go ahead and go to a break right now, and then we'll come back in just a second, and we'll have Chris White on the phone to talk about Zeitgeist. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, we're back. And just a little FYI, so everyone knows, today in an email conversation, I was able to secure a... oops, that's not good. I was able to secure an interview with the Venus Project, which is the thing that Peter Joseph from the Venus Project... the Zeitgeist movie, Zeitgeist the addendum, producer of Zeitgeist, on Zeitgeist Addendum, he was promoting this thing called the Venus Project.
Heavily featured.
Yeah.
It's the old guy that they keep interviewing with the spaceships behind him.
Okay. Huh. I guess he's on the phone at the moment. Okay. Well, I don't know what to do about that. Or is he on the phone? No. I'll wait and see if he calls back. Okay, we're going to bring Chris White hopefully on here pretty soon. Oh, there he goes. Okay. So we'll bring Chris White here on the phone in just a second. But yeah, we did secure the interview with the Venus Project people. It's going to be an interesting conversation. I wonder, this is the main reason why I wanted to interview them. I wonder if they have the same perception as the guy who produced the film. I bet you they don't.
That would be interesting.
I bet you that there's aspects of it that they believe in, but I don't think that they're in complete agreement. So it's just going to be interesting to pick their brains, find out what they're really all about, the Venus Project, see what... I'm going to investigate them thoroughly, and you're welcome to call in and question them and whatnot, but just be courteous. So bringing to the line, we have Chris White of Nowhere to Run, another show here on Revere Radio. Chris, are you there?
Yeah, how's it going?
Hey, Chris.
Doing well. Wow,
it's good to talk with you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. So the reason why I wanted to bring you on, because the movie Zeitgeist is kind of a hot topic right now, no doubt, especially because the new addendum, part two of Zeitgeist came out, and it's caused quite a stir, and especially, I got to say, I'm shocked. I'm actually pretty stirred up myself about the whole thing, and I know that you have actually put out a Zeitgeist challenge, and you've had much to say on the topic. So welcome to the show, and we look forward to your insights here.
Right on.
So go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, first of all, I just want to talk about the movie in general, what your opposition is to sections of the movie. Now, there's three parts in part one. I'm assuming that only the first part was the part you had concern with. Is that correct?
Yeah, I didn't really have any trouble with the 9/11 or the Federal Reserve part. I mean, as far as addendum goes, you know, I think it's there were some issues with the Federal Reserve issue there. There were some kind of just minor inaccuracies and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But mainly it's the first part, and it was actually ironically the reason that I even knew to challenge it was because of Dyer Wolf used to say on his radio program all the time that, you know, Quetzalcoatl was the same as Jesus and all this stuff, and I kept listening to it, and I was like, man, one day I'm just going to really look into that. And then I actually did, and this was before the first Zeitgeist came out, and I found out that was... I wrote a big thing up to him and sent it to him. I was like, look, man, this is all wrong. This is like, that never happened, and I sent him all the stuff. And then in the process, I found out that it wasn't true in regard to a lot of gods. I mean, that those stories didn't appear until after they were later merged with, you know, the Christianity, which they apparently couldn't control, and they did put a lot of their mystery religion into it later. But the issue was, like, so that's, I guess, why I was able to see it right at the beginning, and that's why a lot of the stuff out there, a lot of the just original forum posts and stuff were some of the first kind of opposition to it, and that's... So I guess that's where it all started from, and Zeitgeist Challenge and all that.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So I saw your film that you put out, Breaking Down Zeitgeist 1. You know, I think pretty much anybody who has seen them knows where you're coming from, obviously. But let's talk about the addendum here real quick, because that just came out. I don't know if you fully investigated it yet or put anything out about that. But I just kind of want to get your insights. What did you think about that, his response to Zeitgeist 1 and his plan? It sounds somewhat familiar, does it not?
Sure. Well, actually, I did. I wrote the article along with my friend Frank Lordy, Theosophy, Socialism, and the New World Order that Alex Jones picked up and went back crazy. You know, he went totally crazy after the day after that Peter Joseph interview.
Uh-huh.
And so he posted our article on InfoWars. It just went crazy.
Oh, wow.
And so, as far as I'm concerned, that was a huge breakthrough, and it actually ends up being something that is very negative for I mean, look, I don't think that, I'm not saying the Peter Joseph or, mm-hmm. or the Venus Project is in on it necessarily or anything like that. I mean, there's a possibility, but for the most part, I think it's a mindset. Like you were talking about the Venus Project issue, I heard you know, saying, well, you got those on with that. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Saying, I wonder if their views are the same as the producers. I really do think that they're the main thing that was there for, and it could have been them, it probably could have been anybody, but they needed, like in Karl Marx's whole situation, they needed a utopia idea to point, they needed something. If it wasn't that, it would have been something else, you know?
Right, right.
And I really believe that this whole thing doesn't even start until after there's, you know, Order Ab Kaio and all that stuff. I think there has to be a major, major cataclysm, and I think a new paradigm shift that will, like, you know, get a world, the world government, get patriotism for a world government. Mm-hmm. And that's, we're not anywhere near that yet. So I think this is just a very early seed planting in that idea. I don't think that any of it was really intended to be.
Right.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you something. I mean, maybe, do you think that, let me be straight here. Do you think that that Peter Joseph is more as an infiltrator or an agent, or do you think that he just happens to have adopted these belief systems? I mean, where are you coming from on that? Because I've heard people accuse him of being that, actually.
Sure. Well, you know, I don't have any information on him one way or another, so I really don't have an informed opinion on it. I don't see – I could see it being either way. I know it, because it is very possible, you know, people do, you know, believe – I mean, trust me, I know people believe the Maxwell Atsarian stuff like it's you know, a serious, serious religion, and they fight it. Uh-huh. So, I mean, he could believe that and just be a true believer. Or, I mean, I also know that, you know, you read some of that stuff, you know, about like Svali and the kind of things that these people are, you know, how they are. It's really interesting stuff because, I mean, I could see it both ways, but I don't think I've ever insinuated that Peter right. Joseph was or anything like that. But
okay.
I think a lot of times one thing about this whole system we call the New World Order is mm-hmm. sometimes we're being indoctrinated to be a part of it. Uh-huh. And so we don't even – so sometimes we are furthering the agenda never knowing that we have been trained to – like it's kind of like Stockholm Syndrome, you know. We're being trained to love it.
Right.
And so a lot of the people are just doing what they've been subtly trained to do, and they have no idea. So a lot of these ideas about your COINTELPRO, mm-hmm. you know, at the end of the day, you know, they're trying to make us all New World Order, you know?
Right, right. It's a philosophy, so it definitely is going to be in more people's brains without them, you know what I'm saying, with having the full
sure.
intent of deceiving. Go ahead.
I have a question yeah, for you about the religious – the beginning of the first movie. I just thought, my impression in watching it was that he was just making, you know, tons of claims based on thin air and nothing at all. And I've had the same experience that you have, where there was a time in my life where I heard these things and I'm like, oh my gosh, like all these other religions had baptisms and resurrections and virgin births. And then, you know, I looked into it and it's like, oh, no. They actually didn't. It's just that if you say they did, it sounds really convincing. And what I want to know is, with something like this, it doesn't seem like there's ever going to be... It seems like this kind of thing comes up all the time, but there's nothing to build it on. How will that ever succeed as a philosophy or as a religious belief?
I think that, you know, this is what I honestly believe, and I know it's probably going to discredit everything else I say, but... I think that there will be a time where there's going to be, as Kissinger and Reagan kind of said, you know, whether it's real or promulgated, as Kissinger said, an alien threat. Mm-hmm. When I think that or alien brothers come here to save us from our evil New World Order oppressors, I can see that too. But in either case, it will be such a incredible paradigm shift in the world. You can turn Joe Plummer into, you know, new age, you know, crystal roller overnight. And so I see that it doesn't even matter what is true or untrue. I see a lot of this deception that the so-called truth movement believes being so easily refuted, but so tightly held as a dogma
right.
that they just wouldn't let go even if you proved it to them, that I see the validation of Sitchin, even though Sitchin can't be right because of the translations and that Sitchin is wrong.com. I don't know if you've ever looked into that,
mm-hmm.
but it'll still validate him if aliens show up. Then everybody's like, well, hey, it's true anyway. I don't care if he's, you know, wrong or whatever. And so I think, I honestly think that's the thing that's going to really make us volunteer to give up our borders, volunteer to give up our national sovereignty, our constitution, our everything else. We'll all be doing it with a grin on our faces when it's, and be celebrating our, you know, defeat of Christianity and the, and all this other stuff.
Now, you believe like that aliens are going to come and it's going to be the thing that kicks us into the New World Order?
I don't know the definition of aliens is really let me back that up. I don't think it necessarily has to be aliens landing on the White House lawn or anything. It could be any number of things. They could find something quote unquote in our ancient past. They could find something on another planet. They could do any number of things, either real or not real.
Right.
I think there's enough things that are true that we've been kind of, you know, that we don't know, that they could actually use something true in order to fool us, or they could use something that they totally fabricate. But in either case, I think that it's something that I see clearly them trying to do with what's being shown to us on the Discovery Channel, History Channel, Sci-Fi Channel every day, you know, we're getting subtly indoctrinated into that idea to be ready to accept it. The movie Contact is a really good example. If you see that whole idea of like, who was the terrorists in that movie? You know, it was the Christians, because they've been proven wrong, even though the Bible would never exclude the possibility at all.
Okay,
I really
Chris,
think that
I'm sorry to cut you off. We have a call coming in here real quick. Caller, are you on the air?
Sure.
Hey, how you doing? This is Super Dave.
Yo. Hey, Super Dave.
Hey, what's up, Dave?
What about Obama? What about Obama and him like uniting everybody in an international crisis possibly next year that both Colin Powell and also Joe Biden, you know, within the week.
You know, last week I would have said you're crazy, but I really do think there's something going on there, because I mean, he's been running around the world like getting crowned in these temples that, you know, is like some kind of, you know, and he's giving these grand globalist speeches and everything. You know, you got all this weird stuff happening. I was thinking yesterday that maybe a possibility, because I saw some news story where they were saying that, you know, all these police precincts were setting up, you know, these getting martial law ready at the local precincts in order, just in case he didn't win, and then there was riots. And I could see, because of the election system being so totally rigged, and it really does make the sense of John McCain being such a lame, born to lose guy. I mean, that's the only thing that makes sense. This guy.
Outside the election, you have like in Florida, we're paying 30% more in power because of the deal the governor made with Al Gore, you know, earlier in the year. You know, I don't know if it's the same way in Tennessee or California, but
sure.
You know,
one more thing I'll add to that. There was a press release put out by a guy named Prophet Yahweh. I don't know if you've ever heard of Prophet Yahweh.
Wow, that's
okay. Well, he has a show on Talk Show. I called him the other day and talked to him for like 45 minutes trying to let him in on some information he might be interested in. But the interesting thing is he put out a press release saying that and he said this before this crazy Blossom Chot, good whatever her name is, said all this stuff. And I remember watching a YouTube, like, accidentally of him, like, I can't believe she's out there talking about my prophecies.
Sorry,
what's
go ahead.
What,
Dave?
Was this the same guy that was on with Sunny Crack a long time ago?
Maybe. I don't know. I kind of vaguely remember that. But anyway, he calls down to UFOs
two different ones. One of them was Lester and had like a shady background, and the other guy was kind of unknown. But
I'm not really sure, but
UFOs and stuff.
The long and the short of this guy is basically he has done it in front of multiple TV cameras all across the United States, but he said that on October 31st there'll be UFOs over Las Vegas in support of Barack Obama. I was just like, gosh,
nice.
This guy. And you should have read the press release, though, because it goes into some really crazy
Obama's
stuff.
Obama's a gray.
He's a gray.
Yeah. You know, and all the grays are supporting him. That makes sense.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. I don't know. I really try to stay away from the whole politic issue as much as possible, but.
But you see where that could be a one-world system, though. Like, if the UN were to say, okay, well, that's what we want. We want somebody that's biracial, and he fits the model perfectly for what the global government would want. I would think that, you know, I would figure he'd be like a, you know, somebody you'd be trying to really expose.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know. I don't think so. But the interesting thing you do, I mean, as far as a global unity issue, I mean, I think that if he did ever come out or had some kind of tie to being of Middle Eastern origin too, that would be a good selling point for that situation.
And the whole Al Gore behind the scenes is what scares me, because it seems like we're paying a lot more money now for energy, maybe not in gas, but in electric at least.
Hey Dave.
You know, you're seeing big increases.
Hey Dave, let me ask you a question. What do you think about the movie Zeitgeist and the new addendum that came out?
I think they don't address what to do with the 1% of the people causing us all the, you know, scarcity. Mm-hmm. Like they have all the resources, all the means. The paper system doesn't work anymore. Maybe the model is just corrupt. There are too many corrupt people with their hands in the cookie jar. But I think that movie does not address accountability when dealing with the people that perpetrated this on us.
Mm-hmm. It almost seems he almost seems to, in my opinion, give them an out. Like, make it sound like, hey, it's not their fault. We all do it. It's just the system. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, it's like all humans are bad, and I don't believe that. Or all humans are flawed, or it's like a neat kind of talk, you know, within the funeral music playing in the background. It didn't really sit well with me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've never been a big fan of music provoking emotion, per se, but at the same time, I understand the entertainment value. If anybody wants to watch the film, they usually have to have stuff like that, or they'll just turn it off, sadly enough. But, yeah, I hear what you're saying.
I think the movie Esoteric Agenda was way better than the first Zeitgeist. Like, everybody was going on, so it's a controversial one. I couldn't even watch the whole thing. I thought it was boring. Like,
mm-hmm.
You know, and all the anti-Christian stuff, I don't really care. It was just and a lot of the facts were wrong. It was proven wrong, and they updated it.
Okay.
But I think there's too much attention drawn to it, and it just makes it more popular because it's controversial. Well, in reality, most people, you know, I just call them out. Like, when I see those green people that hate all humans and we're the virus or whatever, I'm just like,
yeah.
You know, you're a narcissistic person, you know, like, you know, look at yourself, you know, like,
yeah.
Why don't you just go kill yourself? I mean, seriously, like.
I hear you, bro. All right, well, thanks for your call, Dave.
All right, man.
Have a good one.
See you, man.
Hey, Chris, Andrew, what you were saying earlier about the, you know, possibility of some people talking about something huge happening, you know, between now and the election, I actually found an interesting article today that, oddly enough, the LAPD chief wrote this, I think, in a New York newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
But what he said, the article is, LAPD chief warns of terror threat before election. Mm-hmm. And one of the quotes in here, Bin Laden probably realizes it would become markedly more difficult to paint the United States as the great Satan with a new president who is admired internationally. And then he says they predict that any terrorist attack would likely include truck or car bombs in high-value financial sites. And really interesting, he's talking about this like basically he's saying big cities need to be on alert in the next 2 weeks, but almost for the exact opposite reason that I'm hearing, at least, you know, maybe Dave say, you know, where it would almost be like the point would be not to have someone like Obama end up in the office. The point would be almost a coup to get McCain in there.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, I really do think that's an interesting point for sure. But yeah, I think that they could. They really could incite a really good problem if they, and I think it works that McCain is such a lame duck, and everybody knows that he's just like this, just dead, just a corpse. Mm-hmm. And so, like, the idea of him winning by, like, and then they, like, oh no, it comes out that it's you know, it's rigged or something, you know, something kind of, it's fishy, it's done in a fishy way. They could really incite that in the media, like as a riot or something like that. I think that could be enough excuse. Joe Biden being my running mate, I would be scared to death every day, every day. Anyway, you know, I mean, that guy is like not exactly the, I don't know.
Yeah, understandable. So let me get back to this Zeitgeist thing, okay? Because you watched the Alex Jones conflict, no doubt. I'm sure you've seen that, right? With him,
sure, with
Peter Joseph. I'm trying to get an interview with Peter Joseph too, because I definitely have some questions for him. You know, the thing that blows me away, and I guess this is kind of like a little unique thing with me, is that exactly what he proposes is all along what I thought the New World Order was. And, you know, a lot of people kind of, like, it seems like people are more going along the line of an Alex Jones version of the New World Order, where it's just a total police state. I don't see it that way. I see it taking on the form of an enlightened society. You know, like you talk about, oh, they're going to put fences up and not let everybody go everywhere. But no, the people are going to be like, yeah, let's not go over there because that's land that we need to protect. It's to maintain our species. You know what I'm saying? People have this mentality that there's just this tyrannical force that's just going to overtake society and totally wipe the slate of any sign of freedom other than what they dictate to us. And I don't think it's going to be that way because, I mean, I think they're pretty smart at this point. They know that if they were to do that, that they would fail because people would, you know, people would rebel. But it's sure. That whole boiling a frog concept. Mm. You know, you do it slowly and people don't really notice it happening. And that's kind of what's been going on. They only go so far as we allow them to go. And then they do the whole two steps forward, one step back thing, but they're still heading in that same direction. And like, you know, like, and you see it because all they're doing is they're forming these groups and they're going around preaching, hey, let's, you know, do this in the name of, you know, whatever idealism. And most of the time it's a liberal idealism, but it's an idealism nonetheless. And people are just like, yeah, you know, and they're embracing it. You know what I'm saying? And I see the New World Order being absolutely. More or less of a what they would consider an enlightened society, a utopia vision, and one where there is no this and that. And then basically he pretty much laid out kind of what I imagined it being. You know, like I think the problem is that a lot of people think that the – because we know that, you know – there's an occult influence there, you know, and he even said that in the interview with Alex Jones. There's definitely an occult influence. There's occultism there, and he had a different take on what it is. But I think that what we can kind of see is that they have this utopian vision in mind. They think it's going to be a great world, not a world of tyranny. They really think it's going to be the best for all of us. We just don't know it yet. You know what I'm saying? That we're all going to be. And I think that's to some degree it's true. It's kind of going to be a utopian society. And I don't think Peter Joseph really gets that because what he's proposing is what he thinks is the opposite of what other people think, which is that it's going to be this tyrannical police state. You know what I'm saying? He thinks that the world is actually headed in that direction, and his solution is going to contradict that. When in fact it seems to be I don't think he really realizes that that's exactly what they're preaching. It's not the police state that of Alex Jones. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I don't know. Wait, I think it seems that when I talk to you, like you've studied a lot in the occult. I've listened to some of your stuff. You know about Blavatsky and Bailey. And if you go through and you read his sources, for example, in the Zeitgeist movie, there are a lot of suspicious sources there. I mean, and getting to Maxwell, for example, he has Maxwell, you know, talking throughout the whole movie practically, and a lot of his material, even when he was quoting, what's the guy's name? Let me see, Massey. I don't think it's because he knew of him. I think it's because he heard it from Maxwell. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And I think
that's disturbing to me too. I mean, because he had to, at least when he was referencing all that stuff and he was trying to find the sources for a lot of the claims that he made, mm-hmm. he must have known that they didn't add up. I mean, right. He must have known that Horus wasn't born on December 25th or was crucified. And when he actually, I mean, if he could have found that original source, he would have found it, you know. But as far as your and he would have put it there, but instead he like quotes, you know, around it,
right,
or
exactly.
You know, references around it, and so that's suspicious that he knows. He had to have known to some degree, because you know that he tried to find the
absolutely.
Original source.
That's what I said in the last show too. I was like, there's how can you go through and quote Blavatsky and not know her connection to the New World Order
agenda. It's so weird. It's like people just believe. I think people just like believe Blavatsky when she says that she got this information from somewhere that basically you're never going to get. And they just take that as okay, and we're not going to get any farther back. But we believe that she saw the sources. You know, I mean, that's how I feel about it.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. The thing about Blavatsky is it's really, really mind blowingly like genius. There's no way around that. It's just like it's almost so like impactful that that's why it has these devotees about it, because mm-hmm. it's like it really. I really do think that there was, you know, some that she probably got it, you know, from some, you know, whatever
other source,
occult
yeah.
source,
yeah.
And so that's why it's so smart.
I'm not very superstitious.
So to answer your bigger question, I think it's very important, because the whole thing about this, looking around trying to figure out what this is all about, you have to understand. You have to figure out what their motivations are, because if you don't, if you just have an idea that maybe their motivations are police state, total control, eugenics, whatever, and I'm not trying to beat up Alex Jones about it, because I think that that's just where he's going with what he can prove. I think that if you really asked him what they thought, you know, he might have something different. But ultimately, it does come back to a belief system, and I don't think it's just about this new Atlantis that they think it's a utopia. I think I think that's part of it. I think that's what's sold to the kind of mid-level or upper middle class of the group. And I do think there's a group that knows about this, and they are legion, as it were. But I think that the ultimate thing is that they are the reason it's like this hive mind mentality is mm-hmm. the question, and you have to understand what that motivation is, what that end game is, or right. we're all going to be just swinging in the wind, you know,
right.
And we could be going along with it while we think we're fighting it. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I think I get frustrated with a lot of this stuff. And I think that's why you seem to be frustrated.
Yeah, I'm pretty frustrated because, like, you know, I basically became aware of all this. I'll give you a little brief history on me real quick. My wife was in the New Age when I met her. She was my girlfriend at the time. She was, like, going to these, like, little things where they were, like, listening to channeled beings and all kinds of weird stuff, right? It was up in Mount Shasta, which happens to be one of the major points of enlightenment, even mentioned, I think, in the esoteric agenda. And, you know, and I lived a distance away from there. I met her at a rave, believe it or not. But anyways, I went up and just hung out with her, and I was, you know, we were totally in love, and she was introducing me to New Age, and I was an atheist most of my life. I had a little, you know, little brief encounter with Christianity. But I considered myself more of a Buddhist. I didn't even know really what I was. You get kind of indoctrinated with these really mystical beliefs, like I learned from TV and stuff like that. And that's kind of where I was. And I was investigating things, and I decided to, you know, give it a shot, and I checked it out. You know, and for personal reasons, I decided not to fully go the New Age route, but she was still into it, and I was okay with that. So I just started investigating it and finding a lot of interesting sources. Now, along the same time, I was getting very political. Not connected to the religious stuff at all, just political in and of itself. You know, I was kind of liberal. I would say I'm a hardcore liberal. At the time, I even considered myself somewhat of a communist, and, you know, anything anti-American. And somebody my friend suggested a book to me, which was Behold a Pale Horse. And I read that book, and I had never in my life ever heard of an organization called Freemasonry. What was even weirder about it is that I had a history in my family of Freemasons. I didn't even know they belonged to it. And what's even more weird is that I was, like, living not too far away from when I passed them all the time, and I never noticed them until I read that book, and all of a sudden I started paying attention. And then not only that, all of a sudden all the New Age books that I was looking into, Freemasonry kept coming up in it over and over and over again. And I decided to start investigating into it, and what I found out is that most of the founders of New Age movement were Freemasons. So I started investigating Freemasonry. Now, what I've come to the conclusion is that most of them are atheists. I think that's a little unique for people, because a lot of people believe that they actually believe in Lucifer. I don't believe that they do. You know, that's arguable. Everybody has an opinion on that. But But, you know, when I started, you know, looking into William Cooper Moore, and, you know, I listened to his whole Mystery Babylon series, which it wasn't until years afterward, because I didn't have access to a shortwave radio, so I never got to hear it. And I got an internet, you know, years later I was able to get the internet, a computer, and I was able to find it and listen to it. But during that time, I did a lot of research on Freemasonry and bought a lot of books at secondhand bookstores, including Morals and Dogma, and read it from cover to cover. And, I came to my conclusions about what was going on in the world, which is pretty much along the same lines as William Cooper when I listened to his Mystery Babylon series, and it blew my mind, because it was like, oh my gosh, I couldn't believe that. I mean, to me, it was confirmation that everything I had studied was correct. Now, you know, I'm here. It seemed like for a while people knew what was going on. But after William Cooper died, man, it seems like, you know, Jordan Maxwell's and all these other guys who are all coming out here, they all have bought into this idea that there's some kind of esoteric knowledge that they can get. Can you imagine
if any of that – if there would be a Michael Tesserian, there would be a Jordan Maxwell on the scene or David Icke on the scene if Bill Cooper was still the head – was the Alex Jones of this movement? Do you think that we'd even have a chance?
Hell no. And, you know, I just think that he would have shot them down in a heartbeat, because facts are facts. You know, and that's the thing, is that nobody ever challenges these people. Like, you're the only person that I've actually seen who has had the balls to put out a film saying, look – there's all these connections that you need to account for. You're sitting here teaching this theology as if it's a fact. Don't say that you're not. You are. You're teaching it as if it's a fact, and you have all these people following you. Now, what about the connection to Bailey and Blavatsky and this? They were all promoting the New World Order. So how can you claim to be against it when here you're promoting the exact religion that the New World Order is born of? You know what I'm saying? Like, It's a very frustrating situation. And then this whole Zeitgeist movie comes out, and you know, now I hear everybody, you know, people are calling in, even Revere. I heard somebody on 33rd Parallel the other night called in and was basically, you know, verbatim laying out the Zeitgeist addendum as like the answer to all our problems. And I'm just,
you know,
like,
what, the weirdest thing is, like, people are now, especially since the day after the Peter Joseph interview, and Alex picked up that article, and then all of a sudden, you could just see he got it for the first time. All of a sudden, he is talking about, he realized it was Alice Bailey, it was Theosophy, it was Blavatsky, it was all this. And that article laid out, I mean, it put it right in there. Jordanus Maximus and Michael Tessarian are implicated in that article that he posted on InfoWars, and that's the day after, well, 2 days after he had Michael Tessarian on.
Right.
So, and you could tell it's like he did his quote research, which obviously just read the article and watched the movies in the article. But right. then he was saying that he just wanted to throw up, and I was just like, oh my gosh, because this is everything that I wanted to. You know, everybody's got lots of stuff to say about Alex Jones, but mm-hmm. I mean, the guy's got the ear of millions of people, and all of a sudden, overnight, everybody figured out that the New World Order is tied to this Theosophy situation in the UN, and they have a religion, and that religion wants to discredit a particular religion for a very practical reason.
Right.
And so it was like overnight, everything was like, oh man, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Right. And you know, not the thing that's really interesting to me too is that ever since I wouldn't consider myself part of the community. I never listened to Alex Jones. Honestly, I couldn't stand listening to it. I the only person I think I ever really committed myself to researching was Bill Cooper. Most everybody else I wasn't really interested in, and I wasn't really too active in the whole movement. I was just doing my own research, reading my own books, trying to come to my own conclusions about things. I don't like to be influenced by other people too much. And
did you see the movie, the William Cooper debunks Jordan Maxwell thing?
Yeah, I did. Very well done, bro. I totally agree with you. And I see, the thing about it is, when I listened to it, I knew that. You know, I knew that. I didn't even make the funny thing is, I heard about Jordan Maxwell after the fact. I never realized that Jordan Maxwell was one of his guests. It didn't occur to me. I didn't make the connection. There was just some guy who came on and was talking about stuff, and I was just like, okay, no big deal. You know, this is all stuff I heard from Bill anyways, so I didn't really care. You know, and then all of a sudden, sure. This guy Jordan Maxwell pops up everywhere, and everyone's all Jordan Maxwell, this and that, and you know, and I'm listening to his interpretation of the symbols, many of which I totally disagree with, because it's coming from the premise that there is some kind of knowledge that they have, that there is some kind of divine force, some kind of divine knowledge that these people have tapped into, and they are using it against us. I don't believe that. I don't believe there is any divine knowledge. I'm not a very superstitious person. I really ain't. I have a hard time with beliefs in like spirits and angels and things like that. It's my own thing. I was an atheist, so you know, I think that's probably born of that to some degree. I'm not anymore, but I don't express my religion to the public. It's not something I do.
Sure.
But you know, it's very frustrating to see the so-called truth movement. You know, I mean, they're just taking the bait, hook, line, and sinker with absolutely no research, because the minor amount of research, and this is why I'm suspect of Peter Joseph, because he is really, he's well-read. How could he not have made this connection? How can he sit there and talk about the New World Order as if it's disconnected from his religious beliefs when he's quoting people who promoted it?
And really, that's my contention with Maxwell too. I mean, maybe not that he's well read, but I mean, I think that he has read before. Mm-hmm. But the main thing about Maxwell is that if he indeed has been on the scene for 40 years and saying the kind of stuff he said, people have come up to him over after those talks and been like, "Hey, you know that's not even logically possible what you said earlier in the talk." Because some of that stuff, all it would take is for somebody that particular ethnicity, depending on which one it was, it could be any number of ethnicities or, you know, backgrounds that just could walk up to him and say, "Hey, you know, that translation doesn't even make sense. You're, you know, essentially, you know, taking three languages and..."
But, right. You know,
so over that time, he's continuing to do the same thing. I mean, I don't know, but so I just, as far as Peter Joseph goes, I really do think that, you know, there is a possibility that, you know, from hearing him on Alex Jones' show and stuff, and I don't know the way that they. I don't know. I don't want to implicate him or anything like that. I just, because it could be either way, and I really don't have any idea. So it'd just be speculation.
Right. Right. Yeah. I understand. I don't like to accuse people either, but I am. My question to him is simple and straightforward. If you've read all these books, can you please justify or explain to me how you can sit there and promote a faith-based idealism that is the same idealism that has given birth to the New World Order, which you claim to be against. That's it. I just want to understand his logic behind that, because I just don't see how it makes sense. Other than the fact that, you know, I just it's just very suspicious. I can't help but say that it's extremely suspicious. Now, you know, you've been doing this for a while, and I really just want to see, I don't know how you feel about it, but I'd like to see a debate. What's going on right now, and I've talked about it on a couple of forums before, and it was actually met with a backlash. People are not interested in debate, and it seems like there's a tearing apart going on in the so-called movement of people who are trying to figure things out, and it seems like the environment of debate is being suppressed. You know, like, I obviously the Alex Jones, Peter Joseph form of debate isn't what I have in mind. Because, you know, I think at one point Alex Jones even resorted to, you know, making baby names, noises at him and stuff. You know? it was pretty odd, you know. It was not something that I have in mind. But would you agree that there needs to be, if we're really going to be seeking truth, that we need to, like, open up a debate of some sort, a correspondence. We're not just putting out videos about each other, but we're actually talking to each other and getting answers. I mean, if these people are so committed to spreading truth, I don't see how they could be opposed to this idea.
I think, though, that you might have the wrong idea of the commitment to spreading truth, because I honestly believe it's a very, very tiny, tiny fraction of people that are actually interested in that. And most people are just, you know, they might kind of join the, quote, movement because it seems counter to whatever is the mainstream. But then once they're in it long enough, then they're just going to counter that as its own mainstream. It's not based on anything real, and it's like they'll tend to just basically act in the way that they're always condemning, which is to follow one shepherd and just trust that person did the research and what they say is true.
Mm-hmm.
True, that's very true. But there are those people, that the very rare gems that are out there going wherever the truth leads them and are committed to finding it. And, you know, and that's the unique people that I think, you know, I'm gearing towards, but at the same time, I really do have, like, a heart for trying to tell everybody, hey, you know, we're being lied to, you know,
trying to tell
as many people as possible.
I mean, it's
about
just
that.
Like, if you see somebody laying down on the curb, you don't just walk past them, you want to help them, you know what I'm saying? And,
sure.
I think the stakes are pretty high here.
Too, is looking for, you know, trying to find solutions and ideas and everything, you know, in a positive way, and the whole gig about that is, I mean, that's what this whole thing is about, is the Zeitgeist thing, is somebody offered a solution,
mm-hmm.
And then they're like, well, the alternative is no solution. It's like, no, well, no, that's not what the alternative is. I mean,
exactly.
But the I think everybody is frustrated because, you know, okay, they want to do something about
right.
it, and this was something to do. But then at the end of the day, they have been poking us with a stick for so long about trying to make this a religion war, you know?
Right.
They've been poking people for so long, telling them to get mad at Christians. You know, Christians were the ones that did this and that and that, and, you know,
right.
And they
right.
won't, and it's, and they're building
it's like, what
that
about
like
the
all, like
tyrannies
some,
that you guys had prior to the Rome? You know what I'm saying? I mean,
sure.
I think that Rome was one of their tyrannies, but that's my opinion. But I mean, think about, you know, Babylon, Rome, Greece. These were not like great places for everybody. You know, there was definitely slaves used, and you know what I'm saying? It seems so hypocritical.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I guess at the end of the day, the solution to it is, you know, I think it's not that the system is impossible. It needs to be reworked. I mean, I think if we're talking, okay, we're all going to be here. We're all going to be here in this together. You know, I think that the solution is trying to, I mean, the reason this got off track is because the system was infiltrated and we stopped obeying the Constitution.
Right.
That's where it all broke down.
I mean,
that thing still is in the glass case somewhere, and nobody really took that away. I mean, until they publicly say burn the thing, that's still the rule of law, and we could all just go back to that and everything would be fixed, at least here in America.
Right.
You know, whatever happens to the rest of the world, fine, but we got that thing, you know?
Right.
So, It really, and we still have a political process, and there still is a chance to say, hey, these voting machines are bad. Let's, you know, wake these people up and get this all done. I mean, it doesn't have to be, oh, let's just throw the system away. I mean,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, you're a Christian. I mean, that's pretty much established, and I think you get a lot of criticism because a lot of what you do is faith-based, and people, you know, almost tend to, people who are not Christian tend to sometimes disregard it just because you're motivated by that. And my response to that is, it doesn't matter what your motivation is. You know what I'm saying? As long as your motivation is for the betterment of things, rather not, you know, it's welcome into the intellectual debate, as far as I'm concerned.
Sure.
And, you know, so, you know, here they are saying that, okay, in order to have this perfect world, we have to rid ourselves of religion, okay? That thing that's been pretty much established. It was even number one on his list of things to talk about in Zeitgeist. It was the basis of the film, as far as I understood
it. Oh, yeah.
You know, he made it sound like religion was to blame for the fact that people are stupid enough to fall for all these hoaxes.
But I would argue it was actually the destruction of Christianity is what he was really going for. More specifically. But.
Well, I think he was targeting
it. The Theosophy. I was just listening to Lucis Truss's little radio show that they do. And they do. It's always so veiled. They always say, you know, what we really need to do is just get rid of these tired old paradigms that are holding us back and outdated. And then they just, like, make it sound like it's just, you know, all of them. Yeah. But then they embrace every one of them except for one of them, you know? So it's just odd.
Ultimately, it feels like it's really, they're talking about the death of hundreds of millions of people, actually, if they just get down and admit it.
They're basically, I mean, if you boil it down, like, that's what I want to say. Like, you know, where's the end of this? Because you're saying that in order for this existence, this new age, or, you know, as the addendum put it, you know, this new paradigm, they always have these new this, new that, and it's really exciting and everything. It's like a big bow of the future, right? With a good, nice big bow on the future. I don't know. You know, it seems like when you boil it down, it's like, dude, you're not going to get rid of people's belief systems. There's billions of people on this planet. You know, there's people who are still living in the middle of the jungle, you know, catching their food with spears and wearing leaves over their balls. You know what I'm saying? And then there's people who are flying in and out of countries, like, you know, in private jets. There's no way you're going to influence that kind of change unless you were to do something drastic. And
historically speaking, every time you try to do what they're trying to do, no matter how good the intentions are mm-hmm. and how many rocket ships and stuff you show everybody, it's always historically ended with a mass grave and a gunshot in the back of the head.
Right. Exactly. You know, I mean, exactly.
It just can't – there's no other logical way because people, you know, won't always follow it. And absolute power in that regard has to lend itself to that kind of absolutism on stuff.
Yeah. I mean, talking about utopianism, okay, they're saying, well, everybody would just let go of religion and adopt these ideas. We'd be very happy people from now on. Okay, well, if everybody was to convert to Islam, everybody would be happy from now on if everybody wanted to, in fact, do that. If everybody wanted to convert to Christianity. If everybody was focused on living on Mars and thought that would be their happiness forever and ever, and they all were in one mind to do it, yes, that would create the happiness. That would create a utopian in the eyes of those people. And that's my whole disagreement with these utopian ideas, is that it doesn't leave room, number one, for decision. Okay, because you're not going to convince people to go along with your agenda. It doesn't matter how much you try. There are people on this planet who think wearing pink is the nicest color, and other people with blue. And if, you know what I'm saying, if one person's idea of utopia is to wear blue, that person who's wearing pink is screwing it up. So he's either got to convince them, either through deception, through convincing them, and if that doesn't work, he has to kill them and get rid of them. Yeah. I mean, that's basically what it boils down to. And there's no way you're going to get everyone to agree, because everybody is an individual with a different idea of what a perfect world is. And as soon as these ideas of utopianism come up and they get these people excited, it always results in them going after the people who are, in their eyes, stopping their vision. Mm-hmm. And it seems like right now people are moving in that direction. They're moving into the direction that we need to rid ourselves of Christianity and religion in general. Where I think, you know, it's about freedom. Isn't it about freedom? You know, isn't it about like everybody
it's
just
weird because it's like so historically that's it's weird because the idea is that if he's showing everybody that how the financial system broke and everything, mm-hmm. that's like the oldest thing in the world. I mean, even in the time like of Joseph was the whole situation when he was like basically the currency debunked, and then everybody went and gave them their ways of making money, which was their like livestock, and then just for grain. And then the next year, or whatever, they gave him all their lands, and then the next year they gave them themselves their slavery, all because they could control the currency. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's often said that socialism always bails out capitalism. So if you have this movie that's like showing everybody, look, because they can control the crash of the economy. That was like, that's always been their plan. I mean, from reading the writings from time immemorial about the Illuminati, that's what they were going to do. They were going to crash the economy. Exactly. That was going to be the beginning of it. So if that's the case, then a movie that tells you why it crashed and then introduces a social system that says no religion is exactly what we see in history. I mean, they always introduce the new social paradigm with the religion is your enemy, and then again, in historically, it always ends with a gun in the back of the head of a in front of a mass grave.
Right, and they wouldn't say that, but I guess it takes a degree of understanding history and having foresight. I just don't understand how Peter Joseph produced this film, having done all the reading that he's done, and still was not able to like see it.
There's not very many options as an answer to that question. I mean, just as like a huge egregious example of why. Obviously, he's either just completely delusional in believing what he's saying, or he's deliberately misleading. It's like the way he throws around the word God's son and son of God, S-U-N, as if in other ancient languages, son and son, in the two different meanings, were the same sound. I mean, it's so utterly ridiculous. He has to know that linguistic connection does not exist in ancient languages, you know? It's just a quirk of English.
I mean, is it just that, I mean, that's what I want to ask him. It's like, dude, are you knowingly deceiving people, or are you really just foolish enough to fall for this? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean,
because he seems like a pretty smart guy to me.
If you get a chance to read, her name is Svali, S-V-A-L-I. I don't know if you've seen anything about her, but she has extensive writings. She was a programmer, kind of like of the Nazi style trauma based mind control stuff that's really widely used in this, what I'll call the Illuminati system. It creates the ultimate like mentor and candidate, but they have lots of different jobs and lots of different personalities, can carry out things with great plausible deniability. But anyway, she was a programmer. She was a programmer actually, but she does a lot of writing extensively on it. And one of the things about it is that she talks a lot about the character of the people, and in almost every case, that they are people that really do believe and actually know about the system, like know about crashing the economy, know about bringing in the new system. And like Alice Bailey said, you know, the great one that cometh, that we're all awaiting, this one that comes. I was listening to the Lucius Trust podcast, or actually it's not a podcast, it was the radio show on Lucius Trust website, and they were like, and at the end it with like, and you know, when the great one that cometh should be here, you know, probably right after the financial crisis, like, oh, the Messiah, they said. And then there's like, oh yeah, the Messiah's coming. But then she was like, oh, we should tell our listeners that we're not talking about the Christian Messiah. It's like, oh yeah, we're not talking about the Christian Messiah. Another one. Yeah, right. He's coming real soon. Yeah. It's like, and then they're sitting on the economic and all these boards of the UN, and you know, like, it's just like, whoa, I'm in like surreal land. It's just crazy.
Yeah, it is.
But anyway, my point was that if indeed these people are know what they're trying to do, and there is a great, I mean, she was like mid-level in a vast system, you know, with very key parts in different places all over the world, especially, you know, whatever. But yeah, I mean, if these people know what they're doing, then he would fit the bill. A very highly intelligent person that was doing a particular job. It's like somebody trying to get the 33rd degree of Freemasonry. They have to do a great work for the order in order to really attain, at least according to Bill Cooper.
Yeah.
So
I have to be in agreement. Yeah. Anyways, the 33rd degree people are not people who just sat around and wore their badges of honor, you know, in Freemasonry. They are the people who did stuff. They wrote books and they, like, spread the gospel, if you will.
Sure.
The gospel of the occult. You know, and I did an interview with a Freemason, and, you know, I guess what it boils down to, what I thought was really interesting, so we'll get into the topics of Freemasonry, because the bottom line is this is all interconnected. You can't talk about New Age, you can't talk about Jordan Maxwell or Zeitgeist or anything without talking about Freemasonry, because as far as I'm concerned, Freemasonry is where it originates, and that's all these people, like New Age, for example, if we're quoting Bailey and Blavatsky and all them, they're all people who, I mean, Foster Bailey was the one who was a Freemason. Alice Bailey is the one that said through Freemasonry the New World Order would come. You know what I'm saying? And sure. Blavatsky often spoke about Freemasonry, and I think she was given an honorary degree in Freemasonry, which was very high, a very big deal for a woman to get that degree or that kind of recognition. So, you know,
it's interesting though. It's interesting, though, how a lot of people like Crowley and others, and Manly P. Hall and others, got the honorary degrees of 33rd, and they came to it from just a pure desire to worship Lucifer, or in Crowley's case, you know, just straight up Satan, you know.
Right.
But they came to their conclusions. They had figured out the secrets of Freemasonry and earned top-level degrees, because at the top levels of Freemasonry, they reveal the object of their desire, as it were.
Right.
And I think that's why they got to keep telling people, oh, well, hey, you got another degree. Guess what? Everything you learned was a lie. Because, and then, you know, I think that's because the ultimate form of spirituality is worship, and that's where all the power is. But they can't just get people to just worship Satan right out off the gates in the Blue Lodge. So they got to really, really increment that in order to actually get the seething power of Lucifer for writhing in your hands, as Manly P. Hall says. So
yeah, you know, I got to be honest with you. Like I hear that, and I've heard it before. I just don't. I don't believe they worship Lucifer. Be perfectly honest with you. I think that they use Lucifer as a symbol of worship because it's representative of Christian ignorance. They talk about how it's a mistranslation. You ever hear that? Lucifer being the only Latin word in the Bible, and that it was a mistranslation. It was actually referring to a king of Babylon, but it refers to light, and light is knowledge to them. And since Christians made an enemy of light and knowledge, it's supposed to become a symbolic of Christian ignorance. That's what I've understood to be from my studies. I believe that they're honestly atheists.
Yeah, definitely heard that. But I'm not going to argue with you on that case because I really haven't studied Freemasonry that well. Uh-huh. But one thing I have studied is Satanism, and I've really studied the actual. I honestly believe that our enemies of the New World Order is this other realm. And I think that it's you know, for like principalities and powers in another dimension. And so why some people focus their energies in studying the Jesuits and some people study the Zionists and some people study this, I'm really interested in studying that realm because I've seen, you know, you said the channelers and stuff like that, and I do see them wearing a lot of different masks, but always with the same central message. And so I know that you're probably with a lot of disconnect there if you don't believe that exists, but you know, where there is a lot to be learned, I think, about this system and what the true motivations of it are by learning what their motivations are.
Right.
And then trying to see, and almost to catch them in lies and then back engineer why that lie even occurred to whoever that opened the door for to even listen to the lie in the first place.
Right, definitely. You know, and this is part of the whole mystery tradition. Like I saw the what is that girl's name? The one that oh geez, I mean, where's that sources? The girl from Zeitgeist. You put out a thing about her, and she sent out a response back saying that none of her stuff was wrong. I'm trying to remember what her name is.
Oh, Acharya S.
Acharya S. Yeah, Acharya S. I heard a response. You know, I mean, a couple points during her little recording, she said it's a mystery. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, it's just a mystery. Nobody put it on paper.
But it's pretty funny. Like I got to say, I've looked at all the different responses. I think you're the only one that actually came out and even made the claim that she's incorrect. And so I think that was pretty much a response directly back to you. I don't know if I'm wrong there, but it seems like it's me. I don't know.
I get that a lot. And the same thing with Tesari and I on Alex Jones's show. He was saying that all these debunkers, you know, he doesn't have any debunkers. He has one debunker, you know. So it's like, oh, I get so many debunkers trying to, you know. Well, actually, he does now. He does have the Outlaws and the Illusion Forum guys. They're some foes of his for sure. So I take that back.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of them either. So it would be interesting to have you call him. What do you think about this whole Venus Project thing? Because we're going to have him on next week.
You know, I don't. To me, I think I even put that in the movie that I did, the Venus connection as far as Lucifer goes. That could be coincidence. I mean, obviously, Venus, Florida. So I don't. You know, I think that's probably a red herring of sorts. So I almost would have taken that out, probably. I mean, I think they could have moved there for that reason, but. To me, I think that, like I was saying earlier, I think it could have been them, it could have been anybody else. They needed somebody to present a utopian idea with a technological, anti-religious thing. If it wasn't them, it would have been somebody else. They don't necessarily have to be on it. He could be a true believer, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
But then there's a possibility that they're not. But that's just my take at it as I stand on it.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think we see eye to eye on a lot of things, and I feel like we're a dying breed here, bro, honestly.
Yeah.
Because it seems like more and more people are jumping on this bandwagon, and they're marching anti-New World Order, but at the same time promoting the same ideals. It's very bizarre.
Yeah, I think I'm doing a movie about that right now. I hope to have it out maybe tomorrow or whatever, but that's what exactly I'm it's called The Rant to the Truthers, except it's a edited version and a movie thing. But I don't know, man. It's really crucial because, as I said before, I think that we are all being indoctrinated into the system, and we don't even know that it's happening, and we think that we're fighting something that we're just helping.
Can I give an observation here? And I just want to see if you agree with it, because sure. I think as far as people out there, I think you probably see eye to eye with me more than anybody else I've seen out there that's out there these days. Sometimes I even wonder if William Cooper's old crew of people are still on the same page, because they're letting, you know, astrologers come to their meetings now and stuff. It's pretty weird.
Yeah, I wonder that too. Well, I'll say this real quick. I got the first episode of Mystery Babylon because I was trying to track back after I did the Jordan Maxwell thing. Mm-hmm. He mentioned – there was one show before that. It actually was the first show of Mystery Babylon. I don't know if you saw that podcast, but I replayed it. It's not available anywhere on the internet. And he's actually uses Jordan Maxwell's book as the centerpiece for showing what the New World Order believes.
Right,
it's
exactly.
It's really ridiculous. Yeah. But anyway,
it's old-time religion or something like that.
Yeah, but it wasn't just that movie that I did. It was another podcast. I haven't done a movie on it, but I just played it in the podcast. But but yeah, so I was talking to the guys over there, and I was kind of explaining the situation. Like, yeah, I think he was using George Maxwell's stuff, and they were just kind of real blank about it. It's like, I was like, okay, maybe I'll just take it and run. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah. Okay. I think there needed to be some settling there of ideas, you know, of what he was really all about, because he influenced a lot of people. And I think that, I trip out because, I mean, mainly – it seems like there's become so many gurus, I call them, in this movement. People that they, you know, people follow after, whether it be Alex Jones, David Icke, Maxwell, or Tsarion, or whatever. I think that people have actually done the opposite, and they're being encouraged to do the opposite. And these guys are enjoying a nice position of authority, and I think it's going to their head a bit. Because I think one thing that I think I liked about William Cooper most, and it was probably the only reason I was willing to listen to the guy, was that he over and over and over again would say, "Do not believe me. Get off your ass and do your own research." It's simple and plain. And you know what I'm saying? That made me go, okay, I will, you know? And I did. And so I was able to develop and read the ideas and the philosophies. And I got to admit, there was times where I almost thought I was going to join Freemasonry. I was like, you know, because they had me convinced on a lot of things. But I just kept going with it and reading and reading and reading, because I knew I was if this stuff was more complicated than I have devoted enough time to. But as I kept developing, reading it, I started being able to come up with arguments against their belief systems. You know what I'm saying? I started going, okay, this isn't right, and this is why I believe it isn't right. So when I get into a conversation with somebody like a Freemason, I can hold my weight. I can actually debate them, and in some cases I can win. Some cases, you know, it depends on the people. You know, we can boil it down to the real essentials and get to the root of the conflict and ideas and why I disagree with them. And I don't feel like a lot of people, the so-called truthers, can do that, because all they've been doing is listening to their gurus. They haven't been reading the books. They know to quote the books because they've heard quotes from their gurus. You know what I'm saying? Sure. They've made boogeymen out of almost everybody, like Brzezinski, for example. If any of these guys were to sit down in a debate with Brzezinski and they didn't resort to just, you know, emotional, spewing emotions about the New World Order and their agenda and stuff, I think that they would get their asses blown away in a debate because they have not developed an argument. They don't read the books.
And they're true believers of that too. You know, they've heard a lot of arguments against it, I can guarantee you.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, I think with William Cooper, people that say do your homework, you really ought to do it. And at least with Maxwell, I mean, he never even gives any facts to back up anything anyway. So you got to do your homework with him. I mean, at least with Bill Cooper, he was giving you stuff.
Yeah.
But I do think. One unfortunate thing about Bill Cooper is that he didn't have access to a lot of information he had access to a lot of information, but he didn't have, it seemed like, the internet as it is today.
Mm-hmm.
Because he could have nipped a lot of things in the bud if he did, you know.
Right.
He said this before. I remember hearing him say, you know, a lot of this stuff, the more I look into it, the more confused I'm getting. And he had pretty much everything figured out on the Dying and Rising Gods, not till much, much later. But then later on, he did seem to get fooled a little bit with some of the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he could have easily figured those out if he just had access to more information. But even his retort at that point was, you know what, I don't know. This is confusing, but I'm still sticking with my faith, you know?
Right.
was like the whole thing. But, I mean, today, I mean, we don't even have to – I mean, almost don't have to have any faith. But the way I look at it is that people don't – a lot of Christians even don't have any faith in the first place. But they see something like Zeitgeist and just, like, get kicked in the stomach with it. And they're like, oh, well, man, that sucks. Like, I'm out – you know,
I'm
out of here, you know? It's like, well hey, hold on now.
yeah.
Just check it out.
Yeah, you know, I don't like to talk about my personal faith, but I can say that, like – you know, my perception about religion in general is I don't really care what people believe in. I just believe in freedom. I believe we should all have the right to believe whatever we want. And you know, we should have a debate about things. I don't believe in, you know, if you're truly a truth seeker, I'm not talking about truther, somebody who marches around proclaiming that they know the truth. I'm talking about somebody who actually wants to know the truth and is willing to investigate it and try to figure it out and wants to know their real purpose here on this planet. You know, you cannot investigate because there's too many competing ideas. And I welcome to the table any ideas. And you have to do that because if you limit yourself to certain ideas and you limit yourself away from ideas, you could be limiting yourself away from the truth. You know what I'm saying?
Agree. I agree 100%. So, but in my case, you know, I definitely came from the whole, you know, I was a Sitchin, Ike, you know, guy a decade ago, you know?
Really?
And it was only through studying this stuff and figuring this stuff out piece by piece. Mm-hmm. Now I've heard literally every argument against Christianity you can think of, you know? I think there isn't one I couldn't even – I would be so surprised if I heard a new one, you know?
Right.
And I do hear it. That's a lie because I do hear them, you know, from time to time, and I learn new stuff all the time. But now it's just a matter of like, oh, well, I'll just go look that up. And it's like, oh, there it is. Okay, here you go. You know, it's gotten to the point where my truth-seeking has been a foundation now. Mm-hmm. It's now not like an exclusiveness, but a welcoming of any critiques. But rather, it's because of that. Because I do think that truth is, at least in the nature of reality, is indeed closed. It's a closed circuit. You know, there is a real truth. I mean, just by definition, as far as the nature of reality, there is only one truth in that regard.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
So if everything. It becomes like a very important part of our foundation of our journey, you know.
Right.
It doesn't mean that anybody can say I found it or I'm anywhere near finding it because, you know, everybody comes to different things different ways. But it's definitely worthwhile to search, especially really being scrutinizing a religion. Just take one. You don't have to take Christianity first. Take another one and just say, let's see, you know. And and
you know, the only thing I wonder about you, and this is kind of just personal, you know, my perception is I've been through a couple different religious beliefs. I have a current religious belief. I am religious. I do believe there is a God, and I don't believe it's, you know, polytheistic or a cult in nature. I really do believe in something, and I don't want to elaborate on what because I don't think it should matter. But even more so, while I'm willing to talk about religion, aside from the topic at hand, which is the New World Order and what's going on in the world, I won't join the two together, and the reason I won't do that is because I'm concerned that my belief will ostracize people from the truth of what's going on in the world. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, ultimately, I would like to express my religious beliefs, and I think there's going to be a time for that. But right now, my biggest concern is to open a debate where we can together start to talk about various things. And we all come from a different position, but the environment right now seems very hostile towards that. It seems everybody just wants to be part of their own little clique, and they're all like engaging themselves in some kind of full frontal assault on one another. You know what I'm saying? And what I would like to see happen is people just say, you know what? I believe this, you believe that, but let's put our beliefs about these things aside and let's look at it from a purely humanistic viewpoint and see if these things add up for, you know what I'm saying? Because I think when you boil it down, yeah, to some degree it is a kind of a humanistic versus a religious concept war going on, and then the religious concepts at war with one another. But also there's the aspect that you know, like, I mean, I don't like to preach to people based on my religion, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm concerned that if I find out it's invalid, if I change my mind or whatever, you know, there should be other arguments that affect their change and their opinion and on how the world should be, that isn't based upon my superstitious belief system.
It seems like though,
you know what I'm saying?
It seems like though, if that's true, it's almost like you're saying we should all be able to approach this debate from a humanistic point of view and reach the truth. What would be the point of a faith if that truth can be reached from a humanistic point of view, A, and then B, is it possible for people to actually put aside their faith and just somehow talk about these things from a point of view that actually isn't theirs?
Right. But I don't want to say like, okay, well, in the Bible it says this, because that claim is totally invalid to the person who doesn't believe the valid is a valid book. You know, the Bible is valid.
Okay,
book.
Well, there's two things here. Well, first of all, I think, you know, as far as the clashes of religions and things go, that's all provided for us. You know, that's a very intentional ploy, because I do think that the end of this, what's coming up, World War III, what they call this Great War, like Albert Pike said, you know, mm-hmm. when the Manzini thing, whether that's real or not, it's a hell of an idea, mm-hmm. is basically to infiltrate and pin these religions against each other, so at the end of it, they can have this atheistic religion, a super state, rise out of the ashes of it. So right. So George Bush isn't a Christian, but they've convinced everybody in the whole country in the world that the reason that he's doing all this stuff and causing all these wars because a Christian doesn't know what he's doing, but he's obviously not a Christian.
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
But we've bought into the lie, and then we've been able to go tell everybody, you know, it's damn religions and the damn this, and then and they infiltrated the Muslims too. And the Jews aren't even the Jews. I mean, in the sense that they are New World Order. Their government is New World Order in the same way our government's New World Order, but they don't represent the Torah believing Jews any more than George Bush represents the Bible believing Christians.
Right.
So
right.
All we have is just this a mirror of these things going on. And at the same time, you say, well, the religion just really shouldn't make any difference. And, you know, to this I'll say, for a lot of different types of religions, it's mm-hmm. That it should make any difference, because there's nothing essentially to add to the debate.
Right.
Okay, and I mean this in a sense like this. I mean, if indeed my religion is true, just in the sense that the Bible is true, which mm-hmm. is my religion,
right.
Essentially, I mean, you know, but just the example of the prophecy. I mean, 25% of that book was prophecy at the time it was written. It's not argued by skeptics or anybody else.
Right.
And the reason that you don't have – I've never heard a skeptic say, hey, this prophecy didn't come true, or that prophecy – I've never heard that. And right. the reason is because it's never missed.
Right.
I mean, you would think that skeptics would bring that up from time to time, you know. But that prophecy didn't come true, but that – it's never used. I mean, they use everything in the book except for – you know, these prophecies didn't come true. So that's in and of itself a reason to say, hey, everybody, got your hand raised. It's like, this book has been pretty much calling the future out this whole time.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe we should look at it, you know? And
right,
so I
right.
think that in that regard, now, of course, the worldly viewpoints that we have is like, yeah, you're just trying to, you know, whatever, you know, the arguments.
Right.
But it's a valid point.
But also, you know, I guess because my position is that freedom benefits everybody. It doesn't matter your religious system. I that's why I don't like Zeitgeist, because I don't feel like it preaches freedom. I feel like it preaches a certain idealism, and there's no freedom in that. It has to, in order to succeed, it must have certain things accomplished, one of which is the elimination of religion. You know, there's been religious battles for time immemorial. People have been going at each other's necks. This God's real. No, that God's real. Here, I'm going to cut off your head. No, I'm going to shoot you here, there, whatever. Yeah, there's been wars. I've heard ridiculous claims made. And, you know, and things are evolving and people are changing in terms of what is, you know, religion's changing. I mean, within Christianity alone, there's so many denominations that all think each other are going to hell. It's ridiculous.
No, I will just add a little defense for Christian denominations and say that most denominations that I am aware of do not think other denominations are going to hell. Okay, well, that's okay. My caveat. I'm just throwing that in there.
But the denominations that you're referring to are probably Protestant. Because they're still kind of all in the same.
Yeah,
they're
I know Catholics that don't think Protestants are going to hell.
Yeah, well, my point being is that you know, freedom. If we were to just focus purely on the idea of freedom, which is, hey, in order for us all to be free and enjoy the belief systems that we believe are true, we need to extend to others the same freedoms that we need in order to appreciate our lifestyle.
Constitution yeah. rocks.
Exactly.
That's why we got it.
That's exactly why I'm so constitutionalist. You know,
it's so biblical. It's like the most biblical document, you know, other than the Bible.
Right. You know, that's what I always tell people. Right. It's like, okay, Christianity, for example, you're telling people you don't want them to cuss over the air. Okay, there's a problem with that. God gave people the right to do things so vicious, like kill and everything else. He had the power to stop it. He didn't. Right? You know what I'm saying? He had the power to do all these things. He gave people free will. Free will is freedom. And
but I also would suggest that there uh-huh. is a misnomer about the many wars, too, because, I mean, from looking at Christian history, as far as I understand it to be,
mm-hmm.
they never really did anything but get killed. I mean, for the 300 years of their first years, they were just getting completely wiped out by Rome. I mean,
yeah.
they kept spreading despite it. And
right.
then when the Catholic Church took over, they just kept killing them because, right. I mean, well, there was off times, depending on who the Pope was, but, I mean, if they wouldn't do different things, I mean, they wanted them to believe something that was completely other than the Bible, and they never let them read the Bible, and they spoke all the services in Latin. So for 1600, 1400 years anyway, nobody actually knew what was in the Bible. And
yeah.
then they were out fighting wars and crusades and all this stuff. And the crusades killed almost like 50 million Christians, you know, and then we have this perception that, oh, well, they were just out killing witches and starting wars with the Muslims and the Jews and whatever. No, they
killed anybody who wasn't Catholic.
Right. It was like the people that followed the teachings of Jesus have always been underground. It always been underground. And the perceptions has always been if you were to ask if evil was real and he really was afraid of people with the authority of this guy, then of course he would infiltrate the machine and call it Christian and then do all the dirty work of the world through that system.
Right.
Because all it would do is create animosity for that system.
Right.
It's win-win in that regard.
Right. Understandable. And, you know, I'm not saying this to come down on Christians. I'm saying this to bring home a point, and I guess the point is getting lost. The point I was trying to make is that in order for us, to engage in a debate, in a battle with what's coming about, which the Zeitgeist idea is growing fast. I mean, and we know sure. where the roots of it are, and we could expose the roots all we want. You know, even me, I was going to chat boards, and I was having, you know, there were so many Freemasons there, it was ridiculous. I mean, they're getting, it's a ripe recruiting ground, I'm telling you. Because I say that, you know, these people who are ruling the world, they look at everybody like sheep. Who more has the same idealism than the so-called truth movement? Then you're constantly walking around looking at everybody like they're sheep. I mean, and if they can be sold this idea that there's some kind of divine knowledge, have some kind of superior intellectual properties that are instilled in them that they just you know what I'm saying? Then they're ripe for recruitment. And I think that's what's going on.
Truth.
You know, Zeitgeist has brought tons of people into the fold.
Hidden knowledge is the thing that has got us from day one. We always have been after hidden knowledge, and so it's such a snare, and we can pretty much be led to any slaughter under that carrot string.
But would you agree that, you know, obviously going to people like this and quoting Bible verses is going to be completely ineffective? I mean, I really believe that. I believe that their mind is so made up that religion is the enemy, that to use religion as a recruitment form is rendering yourself useless. I mean, we have to be able to do it outside of that. And the principle of freedom alone can destroy this idea. I mean,
as you've probably found, like a few things here, you know, just in talking to me, that probably the perceptions of, I mean, you know, you're coming from a Bill Cooper standpoint anyway, but you know, where the perceptions is what's broken about Christianity, and so people say I can't listen to any Christianity because they've been trained to hate it,
right?
And so if none of it's true, none of the training is true, all the protocols are wrong, then instead of just trying to find a new way, it validates it by their extreme devotion to trying to find ways to discredit it, which means that it does work, and that's why they're so damn scared of it.
Right?
That's
have you been successful? Have you been very successful in it, though? I mean, obviously, you're getting the attention of people who have a like mind. You know, there are some of them out there who see what's going on. And I did a teaching called
every day saying I was the biggest Michael Tesorian junkie. I was all in it. I was starting to do this. I was already knee deep, and I had my tarot card deck, and I was joining mystery schools. And then I saw your movies, and then it all just kicked me in the gut, and here I am. And not only did they come back and like, wow, I did not know this, but they also come back extremely not only empowered, but they understand the nature of the deception, which makes them very aware of the seriousness of the situation too, knowing how clever the deception is.
Wow.
And so I think I've been rather successful.
Okay. I'm impressed. I didn't know that. So, you know, I just imagine that, you know, from my experience, it's just been, I don't know. For me, it's been an issue where I have come from the position that, okay, you know, if you don't want to talk about religion, you don't want to bring that into the scenario, then let's not bring it into the scenario. I'll do that. Because there's still enough, I think, damning evidence against these idealisms. I mean, if you don't want to bring religion into the scenario, then you shouldn't believe in this, because it's born out of a religion. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is a religion that you are embracing here, whether you know it or not.
True, what if ultimately it was the truth? Then our whole search for the truth would be in vain if we have eliminated a potential cause out of hand. You know, then because, well, let's just throw any of those potential causes out and let's just look through what we have here. Mm-hmm. But what if it was true? Then you've eliminated a potential cause. It's not the scientific method,
right?
It's
right.
dogma.
Uh huh. Well, I understand that. I'm personally not. against the idea of bringing religion into it, because I think religion is part of the debate. I mean, if you're seeking truth, truth could be a religion. Truth could be a god or no god, or, you know, the idea that there's aliens, or, you know, the bugs that can talk. Who knows? I mean, if you're looking for truth, you have to be willing to accept everything, and you have to be willing to investigate it, debunk it, and then move on from there and go to something else once you've settled the issue. And I don't doubt that there's going to be times where people just are not going to see eye to eye. But at the same time, like, you know, I just don't. I'm trying. All I'm thinking about, and this is just my heart, because, you know, my website's called Truth, Love, and Freedom. I believe in seeking truth above all things. I believe in love is the most powerful thing, regardless of where you believe the source of that it comes from. And then I believe in freedom. You know what I'm saying? And if I don't want to, if people are saying, hey, I'm willing to talk to you, I'm willing to engage in this debate, but don't bring God into the scenario, I'll say, all right, I'll do that. And I feel sure, like that's for the large, you know, I think that's what's happening these days. And a lot of it has to do with the influence of you know, Maxwell and everybody else, because they've basically been taught that, you know, it's a big hoax, you know, and since that's the case, they don't even want to hear about it. So, you know, I just say, you know what, let's keep religion out of it. Let's see if we can talk about other things
sure,
here.
But then it does beg the question, though, if the entire system is concerned about really only debunking one religion, they go to extreme lengths to do it. Mm-hmm. And just read the protocols for, like, you know, trauma-based mind control and stuff. They have revulsion therapy for, you know, people, you know, a multiple will open the Bible and have programs to, like, get nauseous when they do it and stuff mm-hmm. like that. They're so scared of it. Mm-hmm. It makes it like, hey, you know, this is interesting. There's something important here. And so, to me, It's almost in its own way the you know, it's where the it kept leading me uh-huh. as far as research goes.
Right. So you, as far as you're concerned, this is the truth, and so you have to stick with it. Is that
yeah? I mean, I'm open to anything, man. I'll have to do a whole show with you, and you can just throw every you know, thing that you got, you know, as far as that kind of stuff. You know, the stuff. Well, I can't believe it because of this and this and this.
Right.
And I bet in so many cases it'd be like, oh, you know, I never thought about that. I mean. Right. It's just so many of those things are like red herrings or just
right.
misinformed.
You know,
stuff
honestly,
that's not even in the Bible.
To be perfectly honest with you, I have no problem against Christianity at all. And if you were Islamic and you were talking about preaching Islam and you were using the New World Order as a basis for that, I'd have the same conversation with you. Like I said, my whole motivation here is that I'm just concerned, you know, because I'm just basically what I'm concerned about, and I'll be straightforward with you, is that there's very few of us that really, I feel like, know what's going on. I feel a lot of these people are being led astray, and I feel like in order for us to be effective, we have to do what they're doing, which is team up and start debunking this crap, because people's minds are being deceived. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is that my perception about it is that we're going to reach – we can, and I feel like we should put religion aside for now. You know, you could always come back to your religion later, but just deal with the subject at hand. Deal with it from the perspective that they're coming from. And I feel like if you attach religion to the message, you're going to ostracize yourself from what could be potential minds being saved on a broader scale. Because, I mean, boil it down or not, you know, to what – I mean religion is – I think is probably the most important thing. I mean, it is for me. I really believe in that. But I also believe that, you know, embodiment of love and realizing that what's going on in the world today and people – the suffering that's coming, the what I'm very fearful of what's about to happen. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it's going to be good for a lot of people. And, you know, I'm more concerned with just trying to wake people up to that reality and to bring religion into it. I feel like it's just – if we had more time and we continued to work on it, yeah, perhaps, you know –
I see it exactly the opposite. I used to, when I first started Revere, I was convinced I was not going to bring up, you know, the religious stuff at all. It was just going to be a conspiracy stuff show. And as it got down to the wire, as I kept growing and learning and learning and learning, and my thoughts now is I can't not mention it. It's too close. There's too much at stake.
Right.
There's too much going on for me to hold back anymore.
Right.
It's the truth. I'm not apologizing for it, and they've got to know it. It's the thing. It's the only thing that the New World Order is scared of.
Right.
Is true Christianity, and they've made it so nobody even knows what a true Christian even looks or sounds or smells like anymore. So that's my contention.
Yeah, I totally understand that, and I respect you for it, bro. I mean, definitely stand your ground, and I really think it's awesome. Don't think that I think badly about it. I've been kind of like, ever since I've been listening to your show, and I know that we're of like mind to a degree. I always wanted to hit you up about it because it's kind of I've had the same ideas and you know I don't know if we're that far along. I don't know when the you know what the end game when the end game is going to actually hit, but my goal is to try to, I guess, take another route outside of religion and try to argue the other points, because I feel like if I attach religion, there's definitely people who will not listen to you. You know,
and there's
saying?
A place for
and
that, maybe, definitely. Because maybe I mean, you're definitely trying to show people the right stuff. You know all the stuff. I mean, I'm telling you. I guess I was defending my point there, but what I should have said rightly is that there is an entire. You can reach people that I can't reach that are on the edge of possibly understanding this stuff that will not hear from me. Mm-hmm. They'll have to hear it from you. They at that point, you get them to the train station. They can go wherever they go from there. But that's you can fish them out of the deep parts of the pond. You know,
right? I definitely can. I can argue the occult stuff under the table. There's so many things that are ethically wrong. Like I had that interview with the Freemason. I thought this was really ironic, but. You know, we were talking about, you know, how Freemasonry kind of hooks people in and they kind of deceive them and tell them it's not this when it really is this. I mean, you start out and they always say, no, it's not this. We don't teach anything, blah, blah, blah. But when they got to the end of the show, they're always like, yeah, okay, we teach stuff. You know what I'm saying? Because I know enough about them to prove that they teach stuff. And they just kind of let loose and they go, okay, yeah, we teach stuff. Well, and then I say, well, but it's the means by which you're doing it. You're actually admittingly deceiving people into this belief system. How can you sit there and proclaim that this is a righteous or good institution who's making good men better or whatever when the whole essence behind it is deceptive and destructive? You know what I'm saying? Where you're not interested in whether or not the person chooses it. You're trying to force it upon them like a doctrine. You're indoctrinating these people. And, you know, and basically what it boils down to is, well, we believe in it, so we think it's okay. You know, that's what I always get from them. Oh, when it boils down to it, they think, hey, there's nothing wrong with it because, well, I believe in it, so it's okay. You know, I'm okay with being deceived into it. I'm okay with these little tricks that they do. I like them because ultimately I'm in agreement with
That's what it comes down to, and you're going to start to see that a lot more with the Zeitgeist Addendum stuff. I can start to see the – especially since the Blavatsky stuff and Alex Jones went off on that, I'm really starting to see it. Once it's presented with people and they see that the New World Order is actually wanting to do just that very thing, but they can't – they've made up their minds already that they will never – you know – what I'm saying is that when this all comes down – it's going to be black and white, no gray. Right. People are going to make decisions and knowingly believe things that they know to be lies. And so I'm starting to see that. I'm starting to see people cross their arms and say, all right, if that's – even if it's a lie, I'm believing it. You know, I mean, it's almost to that point where people are like, so what? I'm believing it.
Right. You know? Let me ask you something. What do you say – I hear this all the time from people. What do you say in response to people who say that that the New World Order, it likes – religious belief systems like Christianity because it makes them believe that it's God's will that these things are going to happen and there's nothing they can do about it?
Well, it goes different ways. People say a lot of times that that's somehow – I can't find the logic in it saying it would – it's going to happen and so therefore there's no resistance because – the people that I know, like Bill Cooper and you know the people that I know that are fighting this the most are all Christians.
Right.
And so it doesn't add up, you know, from my experience. And I think that the reason is because of that commandment to love your neighbor. You know, I think that because that's like an inherent part of true Christianity and it's just an inborn thing, that I think that it's impossible to just sit down and let it go. The churches might. The churches are probably all waiting for their rapture or whatever, but they're dead. They're dead bones. This whole thing is been corrupted to the point of they're just about dead. I mean, there's hope for them, but I mean, when this all comes down, they are going to be the ones that are going to be persecuting the Christians the most.
Right.
You know, to me, so that's what I'm saying, is they have an argument when they point at control mechanisms, say, look at the Catholic Church and the control mechanism, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it is. Look at any Catholic school. I mean, that's mind control 101. They can make that stuff stick because it's true to a certain degree.
Right.
And the same thing with pointing at the sun symbolism in Catholic churches or crosses or halos or anything like that and saying, look, there it is, proof. It's like, that's not proof.
Right.
You know, that's just proof that they added that later on because they are sun worshippers and they merged it with it. You know, so I guess it always works because they have something true to back it up with. But I don't see any evidence as far as, you know, how it's all playing out that would in any way make anybody lay down, you know.
Right. Well, let me ask you something, too. And I'm asking you a lot in terms of religion, because I think it's a pretty valid thing. And I think I haven't really heard anybody ask you these questions before. And I've always been wondering. I hope people listening and you know, the people who are going to hear this podcast had the same question. So, but it, so it's not just me. But, there's people who are saying things like, okay, you know, the religious aspect of the world is a, you know, or say the church system, the established religions, are basically forms of indoctrination. They're teaching things like, you got people like the 700 Club guy, Pat Robertson. Okay, sure. Pat Robertson preached, you know, he was pro Bush and pushing. He's always pushing the Republican platform and this and that and all the, you know, the war in Iraq and all this stuff. I mean, obviously there's some validity to the fact that some Christians, like, you know, it doesn't matter what war against Islam that occurs, they're going to support it, because as far as they're concerned, the people of Islam are a satanic faith. You know, there are those people. I've met them myself. You know, there's Zionists. I have a friend of mine who has a Israeli flag hanging in his house. Okay, because he believes that they're God's chosen people. When you hear these things, there is validity to it. So how do you make sense of that? I mean, do you think, are you pro-Israel, or do you believe, you know what I'm saying? Like, where are you coming from on this? Do you believe church establishment or what do you call it?
You still there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Check. 1, 2, 1, 2. You still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Did I lose you?
No, I'm here.
Okay, cool. On the first part about the Pat Robertson and the mind control and stuff like that, agreed, 100%. A lot of that is, I mean, that's just TV mind control.
Right.
You know, Fox News and all that stuff is just Nazism, as far as I'm concerned, in most cases, and they're really good at propaganda and stuff. So they can incite anybody to do damn near anything, depending on, and they can do the same thing with the, quote, liberals or whatever. You know, they can get anybody to do anything as long as they got their attention.
Right.
You know, and so that's why you see a lot of that. And I got no complaints of that. It's absolute mind control. I do think Pat Robertson probably is. You know, there's a lot of questions about him being a Freemason and all this stuff. I think a lot of those times, especially the television evangelists and people like that, I think are not just mere black sliders or anything. I think in a lot of cases they are literally part of a very networked group of people that do that on purpose. In some cases, they are mind controlled, where they would have an altar that is this, you know, Christian altar, but they do. It's a long story. I don't know how far you follow all that kind of stuff as far as, you know.
I've heard it before, but yeah.
But anyway, so on that kind of stuff, yeah, I'm all about it. As far as the Israel thing, there is a really that is a very key element to what they're about to do, and so it's very important. And they've got a layer upon layer of propaganda. My personal position is support of Jewish people that believe in the Torah, but not of the government of Israel. I mean, if the Bible is true, then there's no reason whatsoever to support the government of Israel. I mean, mm-hmm. they've gone astray more than a few times. And right. also, that whole thing about, you know, those who bless the Lord will bless, and the reason to support Israel in a military way is completely not true. I mean, the whole idea of blessing them is an idea of, you know, loving them, mm-hmm. as opposed to supporting the military at all. I mean, God continually didn't need any help in the Bible. He made it very clear, I got their back. You know, I don't need your... You know, and not to mention wars in the first place. I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as doing that kind of thing. But so anyway, do I think that the government is totally infiltrated as much or more than the U.S. government as far as what we would term New World Order? Absolutely. Is the New World religion and order going to be set up in Jerusalem? You betcha. They're going to do everything they can. And partially, what are the reasons that they incite this idea of it's the Jews and the Jews is this? Because it's true. I mean, they've made it very easily accessible for people to find out the Rothschilds and this and they're behind it and the Jews and the Jew system, whatever. And they even do the same kind of thing with Russia. And the reason is, and like they had a lot of stuff with Georgia. Obviously, you know, the head of the thing was, you know, the Israel guy, and they had a lot of Israel connections. And they would conveniently make sure that they knew that all this armed stuff was coming from Israel. And, you know, I mean, if we know about it, Russian intelligence knows about it. So right. Russia sees that as that. It's all part of this inciting thing, because I honestly believe that the only people that are persecuted more than the Christians are the Jews. And except the only thing that they've done is they've incited the same way that they've got everybody to hate Christians. They've done even more with the Jews. And then they do have this really slick thing that they do, where everybody, every politician in America has to say, I'm a Christian, and has to say, I support Israel. But, right. but they do the exact opposite. Like they say, we're going to build up a fence on the borders, but then they actually do the opposite of that.
Right.
It's the same thing that they do with Israel. They say, yeah, we're supporting Israel. We'll support them at all costs. Nuke everybody that – nuke Iran, blah, blah, blah. But what they do is they fund their enemies to the absolute – teeth.
Right.
I mean, I saw an article that, and the news media is completely in on this. Mm-hmm. You can go to the AP Newswire at any given point of the day, type in Israel or Palestine or whatever, and all of the articles, there will be a lot of articles, and they'll all be like either very subtly or outright anti-Israel. But then we have this mindset that we're so pro-Israel because our politicians continually tell us that they are.
Right.
But I saw this. I'm sorry, I'm going off.
No.
I saw this article. The other day, mm-hmm. where they made it big thing, and Rents, of course, did its, you know, D's illustration or whatever, that America spent, you know, what was it, like $13 million in support of Israel war or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then what they didn't report was the $90 billion that they just gave to their biggest enemy, Saudi Arabia, in weapons contracts.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So they make sure, you know, that about the $13 million they gave them, and they just don't tell you about the $90 billion to Saudi Arabia. And they keep doing that over and over and over again. I honestly believe that they're building – they're trying – that the reason they brought the Jews to Israel is to have them all in one place to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Barry Chalmers and other people, the reason that they have left Israel is because that's what they think this whole thing was, is because they hate them so much that they wanted to eliminate them, as evidenced by Hitler and everything. That's an right. ideology that they have. Mm-hmm. And so their plan was to bring them to one place to kill them all.
Right.
So that's when and that's why there's almost 100,000 rockets pointed at Israel right now, and why there's no logical reason for that country to survive.
Huh. Interesting. Okay. Wow. Yeah, it's interesting. He's like, you know, I feel like – I mean, the reason I'm asking you all these questions, it may seem unrelated to the whole zeitgeist thing. But, you know, ultimately when we get down to the whole zeitgeist thing and this whole new idea of what the New World Order is and what the future should be that is coming into the movement and – you know, it's because we need to understand these things. These are the things that are separating us from each other. That's what I think. And I don't care what anybody says. Like, I listened to this one guy the other day on the radio, and he was basically saying, you know, oh, we have to all be our own leaders, and, you know, we just believe what you believe, do your own research, and just live life the way you believe it to be. Nah, you know, let's get real here. Separation does not take down the powers of this country. It just does not. No,
sure.
You know what I'm saying? It takes a brush fire of ideas that go into the minds of people and light their hearts on fire that makes them take action. So this idea that we're all just going to remain separate and everything's going to be okay, I think is a foolish concept. It's never been true in history, and it probably never will be. Every leader in the world that has ever been, that we look at, I mean, everyone talks about how Martin Luther King, Gandhi, all these people have done all these great things, but if you look at it, these people only were able to do good things because they had thousands of people behind them. You know what I'm saying? That one guy trying to do stuff wouldn't have accomplished crap if it wasn't for the people who were willing to support him. People say, oh, it's a following. No, it's not a following. It's a support system. It's saying this.
But he wouldn't have had the support system if he didn't have truth.
Right, exactly. And he set the brush – you know, he's the one that set their hearts on fire because he was speaking truth. And you know what I'm saying? And so there's this idea going around that, you know, that everything's going to be all right. I totally in a disagreement with that. I think that what there needs to be is – there needs to be a crossroads, and I'm actually hoping, I'm thinking about hitting up Rob about doing another show where the whole premise of the show is just to get different people within the truth movement who are trying to take lead, you know, whether or not they're leaders or not, but people who are out there trying to spread the truth to come on and just debate. Fully debate, talk about stuff, you know, what I believe, why I believe it, where's my reasoning here, what, you know what I'm saying? Because that's the way we're gonna come together, I think. I mean, it could have the opposite effect, but I think that, you know, not doing it, we're going to have the opposite effect no matter what. So, I mean, I wonder, are you in agreement with that? I mean, I think that, honestly, you've probably, as far as I've seen over the internet, I've kind of searched around and stuff, I think you've taken pretty much a lot of wrath for saying the things that you have, because there's a lot of people who follow Tessarion and Maxwell and, you know, and they're kind of going along with this whole anti-religious zeal. And
sure.
You know.
Well, interesting thing that you said was that, you know, it's important to, you know, the whole unity thing and everything. Well, that's what I get that a lot, you know, that I am trying to divide the truth movement and I'm some kind of, you know, agent here right. to divide us all up. But the point is, if indeed we all are all following a sure way to a cliff,
mm-hmm.
and you would want to divide that party of sheep. Say, hey, guys, whoa, 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 I'm trying to divide you. Yes, yeah. I am trying to divide you. The truth is that if you go that way, you're going to fall off that. You know. So I don't think that a lot of people really want to continue. And ultimately, that's what I said at the end of this movie. It was just that the problem is that the truth, the lies that they're offering us, the New World is actually a lie that we would want and prefer to believe. Mm-hmm. So that's why this is just impossible to some extent. And that's why there's so much backlash, just because it's so obvious sometimes. It's like, well, it's just not there. Just look it up. It's like, no, it's got to be, because I want it to be. That's right. The hardest thing is like pulling teeth because they want to believe what the New World Order wants them to believe.
Right. Yeah. Hey, I just want to kick it out there. If anybody wants to call in real quick, 1-877-REVERE-0. That's 1-877-738-3730. I should have said that several times by now, but this has been a very interesting conversation with you. And, I understand what you're saying, and I totally agree with that. And I think that, but I think that there's other people in the movement who are going the opposite direction to you, and they think you're going off a cliff. So I think what the sheep need to do is stop what they're doing. Stop taking action just for a little while, because our actions are ineffective without each other. And
together. There's some people that have it on their heart to fight the vaccine thing or the fluoride thing or whatever, and they don't need to take it. They just need to it. That's there's so many issues out there that if somebody's got something about then like 9/11 or whatever, that's your thing. Then you don't have to bring any of the any ideology into any of that. It's just warning people, waking people up to save people's lives.
Right.
In the case of vaccines and fluoride and all the stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I agree with you.
See a lot of that as just productive.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. That there's definitely stuff out there that I'm not talking about everything. I'm just talking about especially in terms of we need to figure out what we need to come together and come to the final conclusion on what this New World Order is. What is it? You know what I'm saying? The people who are running it seem to like they like to preach that it's this great world. That it's going to be great. Good. Trust me, you're going to like it. You know what I'm saying? They always talk about what a great – the new order is always changing. It's evolving, but it's getting better.
I'll tell you how I found out what made it all work. Because if you're like me, I was basically – had a lot of these things going different places and a lot of research that I knew a lot about a lot of different things about the New World Order.
Right.
But none of them – it didn't. There wasn't any unification theory, There wasn't like anything that tied them all together. I just had to have like separate ideologies about how to incorporate this anomaly into the whole. And I was a Christian. I had that mindset, so it wasn't like it was just I still needed answers for everything.
Right.
And it wasn't until I found a guy called Russ Dizdar that it just like all went on. Everything clicked. All the loose ends that I had just tied themselves together, and it made sense because it explains the hive mind, explains the different anomalies, explains all the different things, all in this guy's I don't know what you would call it, ministry, I guess.
Uh-huh.
But he's just a Christian, but he's just a very productive one, and he's a deliverance minister primarily, as far as dealt a lot with demonic stuff and whatever, but this guy made it all fit for me. I'll just throw that out there if anybody's listening. Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net.
Okay, cool. Awesome. I think I'm going to go ahead and call it quits here in a second. Can you give your information out for anybody who wants to listen to your show, go to your website and all that stuff?
Sure. NowhereToRunRadio.com is the website. Uh-huh. And, I think a lot of the stuff I've been doing, the podcast is there, but there's links to different shows, Frank and Chris Show and the Full Armor of God, and also the YouTube site. A lot of stuff going on there. So
sorry about my kid screaming in the background. I think she's getting a little tired.
No, it's not good.
Well, anyways, thanks for coming on the show, man. It's been a very awesome conversation, and I definitely want to have you on again and talk some more about it because, like I said, I feel pretty lonely out here as far as like what I believe is going on in the world, and I think that me and you see eye to eye a lot more than most people these days. Yeah.
And if there's anything at all that I can do as far as help with something or whatever it is, don't hesitate to email me and ask me. I'll do everything I can. For the most part, I got all the time in the world to try to deal with a lot of this stuff. So
okay, awesome.
At least lately, anyway.
All right, thanks a lot for you coming on the show and talking to us about your ideas about things, and hopefully you'll be tuned in for the Venus Project. This is
going to
be a fascinating conversation, I'm sure. All right, bro, have a good one.
Thanks, guys.
All right, take care. So that was interesting.
Yes, it was
very long conversation. But very interesting.
Yeah.
I've been listening to his show, and I definitely said, you know what I'm saying? Because there's not a lot of people who talk about William Cooper in these days, other than they go, oh, yeah, William Cooper, rest in peace. But, you know, because they've kind of all forgotten about him. But it's like, you know, for people who really thought that William Cooper was kind of the one then that was really spreading the truth, you know, the people who are out there today leading the pack are pretty much the polar opposite as far as I'm concerned. I mean, they're the polar opposite.
Yeah.
So what did you think? So you watched the Zeitgeist movie. Let's hear a little bit from you. What do you think about it?
Well, I had so little... I was so unimpressed by the first third of it about the religion. It's one of these situations. It's like when I watch the History Channel and or Discovery, and they're talking about a subject that I actually have knowledge about, and they're completely wrong. Then it really makes me question everything else. And honestly... it was so hard to watch that first part where he was making ridiculous claims based on nothing that he could not back up, that he didn't even try to back up, and that can't be backed up. I've looked into these things before. It was so ridiculous that I felt like if there was anything good in it, it wasn't worth it to me to try to find it, because I just saw such a disregard for truth.
right, absolutely.
The second one, the Zeitgeist, it was interesting in a way, in sort of a, like you said, it was a utopian idea. That's basically what, it felt like you were watching like a, just kind of, I don't know, it was just watching someone talk about what they think the world should be like, and I think it was completely unrealistic because it completely doesn't take into account that most people aren't going to go along with it. It's just, in my opinion, it's that simple. Maybe that's naive, whatever. But
right. Do you think that if, well, I mean, obviously, you probably don't agree that if the world was the way he imagined it, that it would be a good one?
It's hard to know. I don't know. It's hard to see how it could possibly be like that. Maybe I don't have the vision for it, you know? Maybe it is possible. I don't know. But I don't think so. I don't think, just even talking about his stuff, talking about scarcity and all this, I honestly believe that there's something in our nature that would keep that kind of utopian vision from being realized. That's just, I personally believe, when it comes down to it, it's a question of the nature of the human being, and I think he's a lot more optimistic about the nature of humans than I am.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason he can think that could work, is because he probably thinks that at the core we're capable of that, whereas I don't.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. Yeah. I really don't agree with that at all. And so I guess that's going to conclude our show.
Yeah.
We will come back next week on Thursday and do another show. Can you answer the door?
Yeah, sure. I'll answer the door.
My kids are driving me nuts. Anyways, so that's it. I'm going to end this with a song, and we will be back next Thursday. Feel free to call in then and continue to address this topic. We'll have the Venus Project people, the agenda that the Zeitgeist movie was pushing was to contact this thing or get involved with the Venus Project. And they have a lot of interesting ideas about the future world. And, you know, from my understanding, what Peter Joseph was saying was that it was something different than the New World Order, that it wasn't involved in it. It didn't even include them or their power structure and so on. But, you know, we're going to get into it more and more. I'm going to dedicate some time to this because it's a pretty important topic. I mean, this is causing a lot of people to get upset, and it's also splitting up the so-called truthers. So I'm going to dedicate some time to that as well and get into some of the sources of the information and do some more interviews. Hopefully have Chris White back on again to talk more details about it. But I think it was a great conversation. I respect Chris greatly. I think that his cause is a good one. And hopefully you do too. And we can all hopefully maybe find some means by which we can come together and start to debate these topics and come to some real truth. That way we can unite and continue down the path of stopping this agenda. So with that, I say truth and love. Peace and love. Have a good night.